following program is intended for mature audiences.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Gentlemen, welcome to the queue, of course. My name is Mark Bland, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, the gateway to the West, the best in moderate liberal politics. This is the queue, and worldwide on the interwebs at thequeuenow.com. We have a huge show for you. Seems like there's one thing on the minds of the athletes at the Olympics. The conservatives really didn't argue this time around or shut the government on a debt ceiling issue. So that's a good thing. And we are joined by none other, and I mean none other than a svelte, bolo, chiseled, sexy, amazing, idiotic, moronic, stupid, and Tea Party-esque professional wrestling manager and noted conservative fanboy of the Q, Travis Cook. Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Cook is in the house.
Thank you. That was perhaps the worst introduction I've ever had in my life.
Fair enough. Travis, it's been a while. How have you been?
I have been busy.
Doesn't matter. Bobby, how's your week been going?
I'm the manager of the tag team champions now. You have to let me say something.
First off, do not even go there. Hold on 1 second.
I got your tag belt.
Yeah. Bobby, how's your week been going, bud?
Been going great. Got a new phone and going swimmingly.
What kind of phone is that, Bobby?
It's one that's got a screen that you touch.
Would you have been a game on or a game off for this phone?
Game off.
Oh, really? Okay. So now you got it in your pocket now. Ladies and gentlemen, he's got an iPhone 5S. Brand spanking new. Sitting in his pocket right now. And after all that hubbub about the Windows phone and Androids are great and this is the blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to tell you, that Touch ID is pretty awesome.
That Touch ID is pretty awesome. See, we can't keep our heads straight on the show. Dan Walsh as well. Once again,
way to lead into Dan Walsh.
He's becoming what I would consider a great co-host. He is.
Thank you. I aim to be a great co-host.
You are being a great co-host. And how's your week been going, bud?
It's been going pretty good. I don't really sympathize with people that have phone problems because I, up until like a year ago, I had the chocolate. And they, oh my God, I hate phones. I hate technology. I'm 30 years old, but my mindset is that of like a 60-year-old man. They all overwhelm me. I don't like them. And Verizon had to tell me at one point, listen, man, we don't even have a plan for this. So you either upgrade to this like this super smartphone because you've saved all your upgrades to where you can actually get this $300 phone for free, or you have to pay more to keep your chocolate. So now, now I kept that chocolate for like 5 years. I've gone through three of these smartphones. So, I mean, maybe smartphones, they should also call them smart/weak phones.
Now, I went through over a 24-month period. Actually, 18 months, I switched out, or no, 24-month period, and I switched out smartphones, Android smartphones, Incredible 1, Incredible 2, Droid X, Droid Pro, like, there was, like, 7 or 8 different phones. Yeah. Switched them out 18 times in 24 months until they had to give me a free iPhone. Verizon had to give me a free iPhone. They had no choice. Like,
well,
it was ridiculous.
They ran out of all their other phones. Yeah, like, what do we have left in the stock room? There's a file under Bland, and it's just all warranties.
I said, you guys are either going to give me a brand new top-of-the-line Android, which at the time was the S3, uh-huh, or you're going to give me the iPhone 4 or the iPhone 5 because the iPhone 5 had just literally released. And they're like, I'll give you the iPhone 5, but you can't get a replacement phone, and you're going to have to sit with that phone for a good month and a half, almost to December 19th, before it'll be shipped directly to your house. We're not going to give you a replacement. The reason I was calling is because the phone I had in my pocket was already messed up. So they said that, or they'd give me a 4S, like, overnighted to me. And I was like, I don't need the 5 that bad. I need a phone that works. I took the 4S. I've been very happy with my 4S.
Yeah.
I've had it since 2012. October 2012.
All those years?
All those years.
That's because this is modern time. So if you've kept something for longer than a year and a half.
I had my LG.
That's average. A marathon device.
Dude, I had my LG Derrick for almost 3 years. From 2007 to 2010.
That's why they release phones as quickly as they do, because the average lifespan is only 18 months on a device. And Samsung just released the Galaxy Note 3 less than 6 months ago. They are releasing or having the announcement on the new Galaxy S5 on February 24th.
Well, guys, we have to get into some serious, serious stuff. Let me tell you, because the White House cannot force Jimmy Kimmel off the air. They can't. The White House originally instituted a policy that it would respond to every petition that garnered more than 25,000 signatures. After responding to cute requests for death, Starzen, and deportation of Piers Morgan, they raised the threshold to 100,000. But today, they had to comment on Jimmy Kimmel. In October, Jimmy Kimmel aired a sketch where he asked little kids how they would solve America's debt to China problem. One kid said, "Kill everyone in China," and everyone laughed and moved on until, well, they didn't. The comment blew up in China. Kimmel apologized. ABC's president apologized twice. And someone started a petition on whitehouse.gov, probably someplace you are very familiar with there, Travis Cook.
I never go to that website.
Asking that the White House to shut down the show and formally apologize for even allowing it on the air. More than 100,000 people signed the letter, which compared the skit to rhetoric used in Nazi Germany. Because when I think of Jimmy Kimmel, I think, hey, look at the guy who's Jewish. He reminds me of Nazi Germany. Okay,
he's kind of like a Jewy light.
He's a Jew light.
He's like a liberal Jew.
Fair enough.
I have no idea he was Jewish. I mean, not that I care.
Exactly. He doesn't talk with his hands that
right.
much.
Right. He doesn't do all that.
He doesn't like reference thing in the third person where he's like, "What are you doing with the thing over there with the?" So I didn't even know.
I have never heard the phrase "Oy vey" on his show.
Not once.
Fair enough. The White House's response essentially points out that everyone involved had to apologize, and that America is great because anyone can say what they want to say, right, Travis Cook? That's why America is great.
That's one of the reasons.
But all right, fair enough. The federal government can't force ABC to remove this show. The First Amendment of the Constitution protects free speech, even if individuals might personally find it offensive or distasteful and maybe upsetting when people say things we might personally disagree with. But the principle of protected free speech is an important part of who we are as a nation. The letter also directs offended viewers to the FCC complaints page, which are generally hilarious. So, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that this petition thing happens at whitehouse.gov. That's great, but I could start a petition to make Dan Walsh change his gender. And if I get 100,000 signatures, they're going to respond to Mark Bland's request to make Dan Walsh change his gender.
We
could, but we're not going to get. But
What? No, they can't.
Yes, they will.
Cannot force me. The change, that is personal rights. You cannot.
No, see, here's the problem. There's a lot of people out there, ladies and gentlemen, that live south of the Mason-Dixon line. Okay?
They're great people.
These people love professional wrestling. Yeah. Jim Crockett Promotions.
They are to the be salt of the earth.
Jim Crockett Promotions to be exact. They stop at 1993 every single
Which
day
of
the week.
Which is a great place for professional wrestling to stop. It's all been horrible since then.
First off, they'll vote. They'll claim that they'll vote for anybody and that they don't care that Barack Obama's black. But they sure do care that Barack Obama is a black president. It is a horrible, horrible thing. And most of these people will vote conservative. They are just like one Mr. Travis Shenanigans Cook.
They are great people down there. They are a lot like me, although I don't know why you think that they have a problem with Barack Obama being a black president. Okay. I certainly would have loved Herman Cain to have been president.
Of course you would have.
I was a Cain fan too, man.
I was a big Cain fan.
Really?
He could speak, man.
Did you like his pizza?
I'm not a fan of Little Caesars.
It's not Little Caesars. It was Godfather's. Good job. That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen, with conservatives. He doesn't even know the people he's talking about or their backgrounds.
I know his policies.
This is what happens when
I couldn't care less.
The majority of you out there
Travis,
is people.
You're arguing with a liberal. So when you fashion your argument.
Moderate.
All you've got to do is just fashion your argument so that it riles up other conservatives.
Right.
That's all you have to do. I mean, that's really how they do it.
He's got a good point. He makes a really good point. You should pay attention. That's all I'm saying. All right. So Travis Cook is here, ladies and gentlemen, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well,
last time we talked to you was actually by phone. We refused to allow you into the studio because, we just didn't want you here in the studio with people.
You're afraid that I would educate your other guests and the technical crew and so forth. I understand that.
Listen, I have Dan Walsh here, professional wrestling juggernaut.
Extraordinaire.
He's a juggernaut in the professional wrestling. I'm not really worried about you today, Travis, because I know you're kind of a scurrious little snake in a skank. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand the kind of person that you are, and I'm sure that Dan Walsh could take you out. Like, Dan's more talented than every single one of your tag teams put together, and then, like, with a title run. Like, you could put the tag teams together. They could become an individual who actually goes on to headline WrestleMania for a legit title run, and then you could do that again with another set, and then those two individuals are still not by themselves together in a tag team match against one Dan Walsh, not as talented as him.
I completely agree with everything you just said.
The last time I checked, one of my tag teams does have two championships right now, and old stumbling reality Dan Walsh over there doesn't have any sort of belt, so...
After my 300 days as the champion, he is correct. I am currently without a belt after being a double title holder in the whole Midwest on two different occasions.
Yes.
365 days?
I think so. Yes. Travis, don't you understand? Like, I deal with you at Dynamo Pro because I draw money
for you. That's why.
You don't draw money for me. That's the problem.
I'm your biggest star.
I had more people come up to me after the last Dynamo Pro show, which, by the way, if you ever get a chance, ladies and gentlemen, you can come to Dynamo Pro Wrestling anytime. You can check it out. Look it up on Google. Just go to Google and look up Dynamo Pro Wrestling. You can find out dates and stuff like that. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/Dynamo Pro Wrestling Live. We have a show on February 18th getting ready to come up, which I know you're going to be there because we had to talk about this. You're kind of an idiot, and I'm kind of pissed about the fact that you decided to interject yourself into a tag team title match at the last Dynamo Pro show at Stratford.
I didn't interject myself anywhere.
Yes, you did. You got up on the edge of the ring, and then you screwed over Shorty Biggs and Outcast by interfering in that match.
Let me explain to you what happened, because you're telling these people lies. Okay. Now, during that match, I
walked Dan Walsh, were you at the show the other night, a few weeks ago?
Yes.
Did you see the tag team title match?
You should know by now I'm much more self-involved than that.
I understand.
He was passed out in the back.
Did you not hear the people talking after the tag team title match as they came to the back and everybody talking in the back to... That Travis Cook interjected himself into the match.
I heard the disapproval from the crowd, the locker room, and I felt the disapproval from Outkast in the Rumble later on that night.
Exactly.
So since you have sullied my good name upon the airwaves, allow me to retort this, if you will.
I would like you to cook a tort if you could.
All that happened that night was I came down to ringside as an extremely interested bystander. I stood at ringside watching the match.
Yes.
Did nothing to interfere. Now, at one
did
point...
Did you
at,
jump up?
Wait.
Did you jump up on the cart?
I will explain to you the whole thing. At one point in the match, I noticed that Shorty Biggs was using a closed fist, which is blatantly illegal and is a disqualifiable offense.
Your guys were using closed fist the entire match.
No, they were. They were open-handed judo shots. Now, I went up on the apron and tried to get the referee's attention to point out this egregious disrespect of the rules. Shorty Biggs came over to me and put his hands upon my collar.
The only thing disrespectful about that. Listen, the only thing disrespectful about your entering into that match was the fact that you probably didn't change underwear for a week prior to it. That was very disrespectful. Okay,
but nonetheless,
you jump up onto the side of the ring, taking the referee's attention away from the match, which my job as director of operations for Dynamo Pro is to make sure that nothing goes wrong in these matches. People like you. An idiot who doesn't have a freaking clue in his head when it comes to politics, because all you do is red, blue, green, yellow, blue, green, all those little colors that you put on your Ethernet cables all day at your job.
What?
Yeah. Everybody knows that you don't work in politics. I work in politics. This is a show about politics. You put out a little YouTube show, you talk a big game, and then you just interject yourself in places you shouldn't be at. And then you screwed over Shorty Biggs, as well as Outkast, and they lost their tag team titles, and I don't even know how you got a hold of the Black Hand Warriors.
I did not lay one hand upon Shorty Biggs. All I did was point out that he was using closed fists. Shorty Biggs laid a hand upon my person without provocation. As he did that, turning his attention away from the match, which you should never do, Dave DeLorean came up and got him in the lower abdomen with a judo thrust.
Which in is the lower legal. Abdomen? You the mean a nut abdomen. Shot?
No, it was no, a he nut shot. Never hit him in the groin. That's illegal.
It was
he
a
hit
groin
him in the
nut
lower
shot.
Abdomen, the solar plexus, which is a very,
you
very
said
sensitive
the solar
part of the
plexus.
Yes, the lower solar plexus, which is a very sensitive part of the male anatomy, but perfectly legal.
You wouldn't know he about anything that. Below yeah. your belly button that's sensitive. You haven't had it touched in years.
Women all know that the lower abdomen is the way to get to a man's heart. Just saying, that's anatomy 101.
Yeah.
Well, he hit him in the lower abdomen, which is perfectly legal. Now, Outcast tried to come into the ring and break up the pin, which is also illegal because saving a pin is an automatic disqualification. So all I did was I went and grabbed his leg so he could not interrupt your title match that way, since you want everything to go the right way and within the rules. I helped you in that regard, and Dave DeLorean pinned Shorty Biggs, and we now have Dynamo Pro Tag Team Champions that all the kids and all the fans can look up to and be proud of.
Nobody looks up to him, and nobody's proud of him. And let me tell you this. Keep your mouth shut over there, okay? You fat, bald idiot, okay?
Hey, I'm the biggest star in your promotion.
Me.
I'll talk when I want
to
talk.
You listen to me when I talk to you.
I never listen
you
to you.
You do not ever again come into Dynamo Pro Wrestling. Ever again. Lay your hands on a referee, get up on the edge of the ring curtains, anything. Like, you don't do anything. I don't want you around these matches. I don't want you interfering in them. Here's what I'll do. I'll set up a chair. I'm going to have a chair set up ringside. You can sit right next to me. You and me will be buddies. We'll sit right next to each other.
You guys can argue about politics.
We can argue about politics the entire time. You don't get up. You don't interfere in the match. Ever.
I really don't care what you want because I'm the biggest star in Dynamo Pro Wrestling. I will go where I want, do what I want, and you do not have the authority to stop me. So if you're smart, you will sit there, watch the matches, count the money that I bring in, and be happy.
Mark, in his defense, though, it is hard to hit another wrestler when you're defecating yourself.
Right.
Much like he was.
Good point.
I mean, to swing full squeeze, that's hard. You're not even going to get
the
much power
on the only thing
on
that
it.
Makes me feel good is that the president of the United States is a gentleman by the name of Barack Obama. And no matter how much you vote against him, he still wins. And he still won. You still were wrong about the election.
No, we weren't wrong about
you're
the
wrong,
election.
You were wrong
no,
about what happened.
No, the American people were wrong about
you
the election. It's the American people that screwed the American people.
The American
it
people
us.
Did fine.
I tried to save them.
I am
we
very
tried
happy.
To save them.
We are happy with the way the United States is running currently.
Hold on, Travis.
I think things are going great for Travis Cook.
Have
he has
you been
had no problems.
The door of this studio.
Have you had a problem at all since Barack Obama's been elected?
Absolutely.
Name one thing.
My health care went up. My taxes have gone up.
Your
health care
would have gone up anyway because of inflation. And
prove
because
it.
A
prove it.
Privatized
show
company
me the
can
math.
Raise
show
their...
Show me the math and prove it, Mr. Liberal Blowhard.
What, you don't have...
You don't have math because you don't
have
believe in
decades
math.
Decades of existing information that already proves inflation year by year. You don't have decades of existing information but of privatized companies raising their rates on their own. Barack Obama didn't force anyone to raise a single
he
rate.
He raised the cost of health care. He raised the cost
who's
of
your,
health
who's
he
your,
raised the cost
who's
of
who's your health care company?
That's none of your business.
Who is your health care company? Who is your health care company?
He raised the cost of doing
you
business.
You tell me who
industry.
Your health care company
you
is.
You have no reason to talk about my health care.
Is it United Healthcare?
My private
is it
information.
Blue Cross?
It's not yours.
Is
it's
it Group Health
your
Plan?
Business.
Is it GXP?
Now,
it's got to be Cigna. It's Cigna, isn't it?
It's none of your business.
Who is it?
It is none of your business. Barack Obama raised the cost of doing business in that industry. For that reason, he is a traitor, and he must be impeached.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, do you want to hang him from a tree?
Yes, I want to hang him from
how
a tree.
How far
because
a tree?
He is
how
a traitor.
A tree?
He is a traitor, and he is someone who has turned his back on this country, and you have to execute
he's
treasonous
people.
He has
not turned his back on this country.
Yes, he did.
He hasn't created a single problem. He's
how, many
literally
how many people
go.
Has he killed in the face of Benghazi? Not one. He has not invaded a country in the face of Benghazi.
Do you know
he
how many other
nothing.
Places?
He is a traitor. He must be executed for treason.
Do you know how many other places have had Secret Service agents, undercover black ops people? Hey, Dan was in the military, right, Dan?
Yes, sir.
He knows people
Dan's
that
like,
were
please
no,
don't put me
no,
in
no. This. He knows people that were in black ops and things like that all over the world, not just Benghazi. And how many times have you heard stories, Dan? And you don't have to get into a specific number, but you probably heard many stories about things that, you know, hearsay and rumors of things that were secret that just didn't go well. And because Benghazi is one situation with four people. I guarantee you there was a situation with 5 or 10 or other people around the world after Benghazi and before Benghazi that were just, if not more important, more important than those four people. And I'm not knocking those four people.
You just said something's more important.
Rest their souls, and I respect the fact that they worked for our country, and I feel horrible that they lost their lives. But
so what
those
do you
want to
do
other
about,
people
what do
are
you
just
want to do
as
about
important.
Those lives that were killed. What do you want to do about it?
Those people were just as important.
So what do you want to do about it? How do you want to avenge your death?
It's called life, man. You're born.
So you don't think it's a big deal. That's what I'm getting at.
You're born, and eventually you die. And some people die at the age of 14 against their will from cancer that they never expected they were going to get at that age.
Okay, hold on. Stop. All right. You gentlemen are arguing about foreign policy. You're arguing about military strategy, which either of you don't have any experience firsthand of. To be completely honest with you, as far as my experiences with military, is that even the black ops guys, they don't tell us anything. And I had a high security clearance. It's not cooler talk. It's not any of that. There are things that are going on that nobody knows about.
Exactly.
However, in my opinion, this whole Benghazi deal, you're trying to pin two sides and you're trying to blame someone immediately. Things that happen that are military strategy, that are black ops, that are anything, we do not know about. And in their defense, the media would not know about it. The media only knows about it when the government allows them to know about it.
But here's what we do know. We do know that some Americans were killed overseas in Egypt. We know that they were killed by Muslim terrorists. That's all we need to know. The details.
That's all we need
to
know.
No other detail matters after that. In the face of 9/11, in the face of Fort Hood, in the face of Benghazi, that is all we need to know. That is all the justification for any action we want to take in the Middle East.
But, of course, but you can always take action. But
let me ask this. This is interesting. I'm really interested. What action do you take? Because here's the thing, and I'm with you 100% on retribution. However, these groups do not sit in one area. These groups move, and we cannot keep going into every single country to get them. We need to sit back. We need to collect evidence. We need to take our time because our country is growing more and more liberal, and they don't want a war. Number two, the world hates us. So if we don't have 100% of a reason to go in, they are not going to back us. It's the North Korea situation. Those guys, we could not get anyone to back us until they screwed up and pissed off enough people, and now people are getting fed up. Now it's going to be a different story. They screwed up. I'm all about action, but the one thing that I do not want to see is for us to fuel the fire on people that are already miseducated about the American culture because they are isolated and not educated about anything that happens outside of their country. It sucks, but nowadays, to only please our own people, we have to play the PC game. It makes me sick. If I was in a war zone, I would want all those news cameras out of there and let's take care of it.
I agree with you.
But until we know, for example, when I was in Iraq, we weren't just fighting Iraqis. They had intel of Chechens coming in. And we knew about that all those years ago, and you didn't hear about them until the Boston bombings. You did hear about them with Russia. However, they've been active. There's so many active groups, so many different places. We can't just say, let's go kick ass right now until we get our facts straight. However, when we do, I don't want to hear a crybaby American society who put their flags up after 9/11 and once people started getting shot, all of a sudden said, oh, we don't really want to go to war. You better back your country up. You better be ready to go because we got the intel. We got everything you want. And unfortunately, I feel like we're still going to find excuses because we don't want to face repercussions. We want to talk. We want to be, oh, I want this perfect. I want to go take over a country, but no one has to die. We've lost touch of humanity in war, and it's in nature, and we've been seeing it for thousands of years. The weak get killed by the strong. The ones who step in when they weren't supposed to step in get killed for it. That's war. That's nature.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said that better myself directly to Travis Cook. We have Travis Cook here on the show on the Q today. If you're just joining us, me, producer Bobby, as well as Dan Walsh, kicking it here. Check out theqnow.com. We are at the bottom of the hour. We are going to take a quick break. And while we're away, check out theqnow.com. Old episodes, new episodes, maybe the famous Cook-Bailey debates that happened last year. You can check into that. And we will be back on the Q after this.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Won't you be my neighbor? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back.
Won't you please?
To the queue.
Won't you please?
Oh, yeah.
Please, won't you be
Fred Rogers, ladies and gentlemen.
My neighbor.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, of course. Travis Cook is in the building with me, and things got a little heated. I want to come on here, and I want to let you know that I'm very sorry that you were unable to answer any of my questions that I posed to you in the first segment there. So, but thank you for coming on the show. And
I was answering the questions just fine until you kept interrupting me, as you always do. But one thing I did find very interesting with your music choice coming back in here, people may not know, but Fred Rogers had a pretty, I don't want to say checkered past, but he was a bad dude. I
mean, yeah, he was a
military
bad
guy. He
the
was
reason
a bad
he wore
dude.
The sweaters is because he had tattoos, yeah. Military tattoos all over his body.
And believe me, Fred Rogers, he was bad enough. He could have taken care of old Ahmed the Neighborhood Jihadist, I'll tell you that.
How do you spell Ahmed the Neighborhood Jihadist? Does it start with an O?
No, that would be an A.
I believe it's A-H-K. Ahmed.
C-Flem.
I believe it's A-H. I think it's like Ahmed, but they just pronounce it Ahmed.
All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move on because I just don't want to beat everybody over the head with me and Travis arguing, although that is entertaining, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
At certain times, we want to move forward. So who's watching the Olympics? Anybody watching the Olympics?
I am watching the Olympics.
I watched the ski jumping, the women's ski jumping finals. Was pretty cool.
First question, do we like the Winter Olympics or the Summer Olympics better? Let's go around the room. Dan?
I'm going to say Winter Olympics. I like the ice sports and I love hockey. So,
all right, fair enough. To Bobby?
I like both. I like some sports, some things from each of them. Like, I like the ski jumping, I like the snowboarding, but I like watching, not the soccer, I like watching the basketball, I like watching the gymnastics.
Isn't it funny how, like, everybody, when they talk about the Summer Olympics, the thing that they all want to see is ping pong? They never show it, but they all want
to
see it.
Hold on, I have to bring this up. This last Summer Olympics, I'm not kidding, this was hilarious. I'm at work, and I'm looking up, and they have a TV there. And on the TV, it was North Korea versus South Korea.
No.
All right? And as we're watching it, the North is at the North end of the TV, and South is in the South. And I was like, I've never seen an Olympic sport be so relevant to world issues ever. A, and number two, the loser's going to die, most likely.
Like, right? Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Like, it was the most relevant to world issues I've ever seen. And no one picked up on it. Like, nobody was just, I thought this was the funniest thing ever. And everyone's just like, whatever. It's just a couple of dudes hitting a little tiny ball across the table.
Now, what about you, Travis? Are you partial to the winter or the summer?
I would say, I'm not a huge Olympics fan either way, but by default, I'd say summer, because the Winter Olympics seem to me like a bunch of sports where I'm sitting there going, what are you even doing? I mean, I'm sitting there watching figure skating going, okay, what are they trying to do? How do you score?
Travis, they are elegantly dancing amidst blades upon their feet.
That's right.
I don't watch elegant dancing on other TV shows. Why would I watch it during a sporting event?
I like Asian women, and there seem to be a lot more Asian women in that sport than in any other sport, so I'm a huge figure skating fan.
I'd say the most interesting aspect of this Winter Olympics is the fact that I decided to jump on Google Maps the other day because I just didn't know where Sochi, Russia was. I had no idea where it was. It's literally about, I would say, an hour and a half away from the border of Georgia, where you're huge.
I'm huge in Georgia. My people are there.
Koba. Koba, who's been on our show before, he is a native of Georgia.
Yeah.
And literally, Sochi is like an hour and a half away from the border of Georgia. Had no clue.
And there's some pretty awesome names for some of the Olympians.
Oh, dude, the best was last night. I happened to be watching speed skating, and it was Olga Fatyukusap or something. It really reminded me, like, I wanted to know what Kusap was or whatever the last, because I thought it was, never mind.
Can you say that on the radio?
I don't know.
You know, they immediately, when they name that child that, like, there's somebody going, okay, you have to get her figure skates because, like, there's no our speed skates. She can't do anything. She will not be working at the market.
I would say that my favorite is probably the Summer Olympics. I like the Winter Olympics, but I only like certain aspects. Like, I don't mind watching some of the snowboard stuff. I definitely don't mind watching the Super G downhill stuff where these guys, I mean, literally, watching it the other day, they were doing the downhill. Amazing. I mean, these guys are going like 100, 120 miles an hour on skis. And then they just launch. And I mean, they go 2 to 3 football fields, like, flying in the air down. And I'm not talking about the ski jump. I'm talking about, and then they have to, like, turn corners and stuff like this. It's a downhill race. It was sick. They need to get rid of the biathlon, though.
I like the biathlon.
They have to get rid of that in the Winter Olympics, though, because it's the one with the gun and then the skiing. But the skiing part's so boring because it's just them cross-country skiing
to get
to the target. Like, I would rather just see them shoot the targets.
You know how to spice that up?
How?
Combine them. Let them do the shooting while they're skiing.
How about if they
would totally watch that?
That's competition.
What if they put rabid dogs and wolves out on the track just to chase them?
That's awesome. I would actually start watching the Olympics.
I think you should have to find the bitter enemy of whatever country is competing at that time, and then instead of the target, it's just a member of that country, and then he runs. I have a feeling the accuracy is going to go up about 100% on that one.
Well, the
ratings too.
Yeah.
What I was real quick, you were talking about Koba. I actually spoke with him just last night about the Winter Olympics. Sochi is actually a part, you know, it was a part of Georgia,
right,
but was military invaded by Russia. Now, the big reason that Putin and everybody in Russia wanted the Olympics done in Sochi is because of the fact that the Georgians are trying to take back this territory where Sochi's at. And Putin feels that if he got the Olympics there, then it's recognized by the world.
Perception is everything.
As Russia, and the Georgian actually athletes were going to boycott these Olympics and not get visas because they're saying, why should we get visas to our own country?
Russia's in trouble, man. They've made enemies with the Georgians
and
the Chechens. I mean, they're on all
they're
levels with
everybody.
Putin's the kind of guy that Travis Cookie could love, though.
They're like,
I mean, he is a man's man. I mean, this guy will wrestle bears.
Well, you know, apparently the lady that
he tells those women what to do.
The lady that lit the torch is apparently Putin's girlfriend,
it's like
on the side
or something, right?
Yeah, she's a gymnast, but yeah, she's like Putin's girlfriend on the side.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people on Facebook say, okay, if you're dating a gymnast, then why is it you never smile?
I just want to know what he was telling her. He's like, okay, you'll come over here with torch. You put the torch.
You light the Olympic torch.
You light up the fire in my pants. Light that torch.
Did you see the torch, though? It looks like a phallic penis. Literally, it goes like this and then curves up to like a bulbous head, and then that's where the flames shoot out. It was so phallic.
Maybe it's an international symbol for gonorrhea. Maybe it's a big problem in Russia. We don't know.
Speaking of that, DC Chimes is not on the show today, ladies and gentlemen, because he's got a wicked case of syphilis, and he's going to have to get over that before he can come back on the show. I brought up the Olympic situation because, Jamie Anderson, the 23-year-old American snowboarder, tells US Weekly that she and her fellow female athletes spend their downtime in Sochi on one app in particular. You ready for this one?
I know what it is.
Tinder. Do you know what Tinder is?
I have never heard of
Tinder. What about you, Bobby? Do you know what Tinder is?
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Dan? Do you know what Tinder is?
What's an app?
Okay. Tinder is basically an app for your cell phone where you can find people within relative distance to yourself that are down to get freaky. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Well, that's what most people use it for.
It's kind of a dating app is what it is. It says Tinder. Anderson told US Weekly with a laugh about the dating app. Tinder in the Olympic Village is next level. It's all athletes. In the Mountain Village, it's all athletes. It's hilarious. There are some cuties on there, though. Every Olympic seems to set new records in lasciviousness. The stress of competition coupled with the location awareness of hard bodies at their physical peak. Who wouldn't want to swipe that, right, Dan?
This makes me want to watch the Olympics even more. I have more respect for these athletes than I ever have ever.
More and more every day.
This is amazing. Just imagine there's orgies going on at the Olympics, and then they go luge the next day.
Yeah.
That's I mean, you know that none of these athletes can be at like 100% efficiency because they're all tired.
Well, their testosterone has got to be a little low too for the men because of all the expenditure of let's just say energy.
And for the women from the Eastern Bloc.
But jeez, a friend of mine actually told me about the Tinder app, and basically the way that it works is by every time you say no, it takes a person. It's harder for the person to be put on someone else's page. So what he does, and what I think is funny, is you like all the really ugly-looking girls, and you reject all the really good-looking chicks, so that when someone's trying to find a hookup, they're going to get, like, a really ugly girl instead. Yeah, instead.
But that kind of screws up the app, doesn't it?
Yeah, but see, that's what the funny part is.
It's a game.
You play with the app.
All right, fair enough. Well, anyway, that's going on right now, the Olympics. Big fan of the Olympics. You were telling me, Dan, your dad is like this huge Olympics fan.
Dude, this guy has like two TVs on. He like doesn't leave it. You would think he was one of those judges that they go to, you know, if something's close.
Like, do you think he's got a phone? Does he got a phone sitting next to his chair at all times? He's like, they're going to ring me. They're going to ring me.
He's such
he's
a,
the
like,
French judge that they called.
He's the guy, and I just want to know his answer. Like, you know, like, just did
he cross the line? Did he cheat? My dad would be like, as he's smoking his cool filter king. Yeah, yeah, that SOB cheated. You need to get rid of him. And you think it's elegant. It's just my dad and O'Fallon just sitting in his living room.
Here's the real question. When are people going to stop farting in Bob Costas' face so he can get back on TV?
That's pretty wicked.
Is
pink
that
eye.
What happened?
He has
dude,
an eye
I heard his eye had he like he's he got, has an eye problem.
He's got like a double pink eye, and pink eye comes from fecal matter.
He's got the Sochi stink eye.
Yeah,
the Sochi stink eye.
There's a lot of poop in Sochi.
Yep, that plumbing leaves a lot to be desired.
Oh, jeez.
Well, let's move on with something else here, boys and girls. Have you heard of gun nullification, Travis?
Of what?
It's all the rage. Seriously. So hot.
Definitely. So much that we've never heard of it, but go ahead.
It's especially popular in the southern states who've used nullification before to tell the federales to butt the hell out of their business. Back then, nullification protected slavery and Jim Crow. Now it protects your Smith and Wesson. Missouri senators endorsed legislation this past week that seeks to nullify U.S. gun restrictions and send federal gun agents to jail for enforcing such laws through the measure that would likely face a court challenge if it gets approved by the state. Courts have consistently ruled that states cannot nullify federal laws, but that hasn't stopped Missouri's idiocy and other states from trying. Senator Brian Nieves, the Republican sponsoring the bill, said the legislation would protect law-abiding gun owners from federal encroachments and regulations. Missouri Republicans began pushing for the legislation following President Barack Obama's call last year for increased background checks and a ban on assault weapons. This is primarily purposed to protect liberties of Missourians, said Nieves of the Washington Plan. Since the time of John Calhoun in South Carolina, nullification doctrine, the fancy-bred, college-educated stepbrother of those mental deficients, the militia and sovereign citizen movements, has held that America's several states have the right to nullify federal laws that infringe on their constitutional liberties, unless we're talking about the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment rights of minorities in these nullification states, in which the case of their freedom is totally trending on freedom, dude. You know what I'm saying?
I know what I think you're getting at, but...
I want to know where do you stand on something like this?
I agree with Mr. Nieves.
Why?
I agree with Mr. Nieves because state law is always, in my estimation, the way I read the Constitution, state law is always superior to federal law.
Why would state law be superior to federal law?
Because the entire way that we have a federal government only happens because the states cede certain powers to them. There's a lot of powers they don't cede to them, and in a federal law... it infringes on one of those powers, the states can basically say, no, blank you, we're going to do it our
But way. See, you know, you brought up something earlier, Bobby, about perception and the fact that in the current 2014 climate of politics in the world, it's looked at by the majority of people in the United States of America that federal law is the overbearing top law.
Yeah, that's
what,
they,
that's
the
what
state.
They think, yeah.
Well, they don't think that. That's just how it is.
That's
like,
what they think.
Well, I mean, wasn't the federal government set up first, and then
no.
it turned around?
No.
And
no. No, it was state government first. The federal government had to pull in because of certain things that, like he was saying, the state government was getting out of hand with. Yes. One of which being taxes.
That's true.
Right. The states were taxing, and then it was like going from state to state, and there was double the tax. So the federal government stepped in and kind of regulated how each thing would be taxed. But no, they're individual. Case in point, daylight savings time.
Yes.
How it's an option, but not every state acknowledges it and stuff. So it's not a federal reprimanded. I'm going into stupidity. I'm
no,
sorry.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Arizona doesn't go.
Yeah, like
Indiana. I don't think they do.
It was set up opposite, actually. It was states first. If you ever like look back into Bonnie and Clyde, like the actual case, the fact that they could go from state to state and rob banks is the reason they were at large for so long until, I guess, enough power votes or whatever was collected that they could. Secede that the state regulations and actually go for them.
Now, I have a question. Why does it matter that we implement new rules? Not rules to take your guns away from you, just new rules to make it, you know, more legitimate for you to purchase your weapons. Why is that a problem? Like, I don't understand that. Like, if you're a good person, you're a good person. You'll go through all the checkpoints anyway. You'll get your guns the way you want them. Simple.
I'm 100% on that, except for this. Okay, when the people make certain rules on certain parts of it, they are not educated in the gun themselves. There are certain weapons that were put on the assault weapons list that are not technically assault weapons. If the person who is making every single law and making all these regulations were more educated on the actual weapons themselves, I would have no problem. I do agree with it with more background checks. I agree with you that if the person has nothing to hide, they have nothing to hide. If it was up to me, I'd have a stricter licensing program in which their actual physical like test that they have to take would be actually bumped up from not just shooting at a range, but shooting at pop-up targets so that you can actually judge how their conscience works, if they're going to shoot first or if they're actually going to look.
Right.
I think there's a responsibility factor there. Some cities actually do have programs like that, and I think that should be implemented to everyone.
And here's the funny thing, because we had that story just a few weeks ago here on the show where the guy goes into the movie theater, former sheriff down in Florida,
yeah, and shoots,
and he shoots a guy because the guy was texting, but the guy threw popcorn at him first, and his argument was self-defense. Against popcorn? Like, yeah. That was his argument. Like, the guy threw popcorn at me, and then I pulled my gun and shot him. Like, that's not justifiable, and you're a sheriff. You're a guy who walks around, and we're supposed to trust you.
Here's where I think you're comparing apples and oranges here.
I think you think everyone's comparing apples and oranges at all times.
In this case, you are. The issue with the popcorn-throwing guy or whatever
right.
has nothing to do with background checks or anything else. Background checks would not have prevented that. I don't really want more background checks. I think we have too many of them as it is.
Fair enough.
I mean, when it comes to our other basic rights, things like, you know, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, we don't have to go through training courses for those. We don't have to, you know, register ourselves with the government to implement those things. I don't think the Second Amendment should apply that way either. So I have a problem with it on that level. As far as the gun, I don't even want to say gun crimes. There are no gun crimes. As far as the crimes that are blamed on guns that happen, background checks really wouldn't do anything for most of those. Certainly not the popcorn bandit.
Okay, now here's a question for you.
Not the popcorn.
Because you just mentioned the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Okay? I just learned that states were state government was set up first and then came to the federal government. Why the hell do we care about the Second Amendment? Why don't states just make up their own?
Perception is different now. That's the point. Like, we all, as a default, look at the federal government as the be-all, end-all. So therefore, we basically heed those rights and ideas to them to make the justifiable cause. But that's also why we have voting. That's why we also have elections. That's why we do those things, to put the people we think are going to make those best decisions up at that level so well, that
works.
One
thing to remember about the Bill of Rights and the amendments, the first 10 amendments there, is that a lot of those were put into place to constrict the federal government, to basically say what the federal government could not do, not to say what they could. So that's why you have a Second Amendment, to basically say the government cannot impede on this right. The government cannot prevent this, cannot prevent that.
But see, so I don't think that when they made the Constitution, and when we had the constitutional attorney on back last year in the summer, and you can look that up, constitutional attorney, you can look that up at theqnow.com and find out which episode of the show that was specifically. But when he came on the show, like, I asked him specific questions to like gauge the judgment of what the Constitution physically is worth versus what we all want it to be worth. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And in many of the cases, like, he came back and said the things that I was saying were correct. Like, the way to look at those, and this guy is a super conservative, and he's like, you're right, the way you're looking at it is exactly the way it's supposed to be judged. I basically see that the Second Amendment says that you have the right to bear arms. And I said, I gave him an example. I was like, if, let's say, they got rid of all guns that exist, except for they allowed you to purchase a gun that shoots one single bullet at a time. So basically a single barrel gun with one bullet in it at a time. That's the only gun that you would be allowed to purchase as an American citizen ever. Would that still fall under the rights of the Second Amendment? Would we still like have the Second Amendment intact under that premise? He said, yes, you would, because you have the right to bear arms. It might be only a arm that shoots one single bullet, but you have the right to bear arms, and correct. Therefore you are, you know, like,
you're being given that right.
You've been given the right.
See, that's the problem. The last thing you said right there, you're being given the right. No, states give the federal government what rights we want to give it. That's how the federal government was set up. Now, in terms of I don't know who that guy is. I didn't hear his show, so I can't really talk about
it. You should probably listen to The Q. It's a really good show. We have like a producer
great when
Bobby.
I'm on it, but
we got Dan Walsh.
It's fantastic. Polar Vortex.
This is the Polar Vortex Flying Reality.
Nice
Dan
to
Walsh.
Meet you.
He's going to be literally doing Latvia, Georgia,
and Amsterdam.
For his Flying Reality.
I'm actually going to give Sochi back to Georgia.
That's right.
It's going to be. It's going to be a ceremony.
He's
I don't know how behind it Russia is
yet.
He's
going to start his own Olympics, but it's going to be carried on MTV. That's
are they
going to
end
know.
Up being a suburb of Atlanta? That's
no, what we're going to do is we're just going to use... I'm with Eddie Izzard on this. We're going to do it the old British way, and we're just going to use flags. I'm just going to carry Georgia flag and step it there.
Yeah, good anyway,
what I was going to say about this whole Second Amendment thing, if you want all these rules and regulations and so forth, I've said this all along, if you want to, you know, change this and so forth, you have a mechanism to do it. Amend the Constitution. Go through that process to amend the Constitution to make the rules as you want. I don't think you'll succeed, but good luck to you. That's the way to do it.
But wait a minute. I had a law class with and gentleman was a lawyer. I don't know. He wasn't constitutional. He was more contractual. But what he was saying is that, and I also heard this in a movie because I'm that guy. I'm going to quote a movie too.
all right, fair
because
enough.
Because the quote actually sums up what he was telling me the best. Is he said that he thought that the Constitution was actually a brilliantly written piece of a contract, because they knew then that the country would develop and things would change, and that this thing is designed for you to
change
with it.
It's very broad. It's very broad.
So, and that's why you have statutes in there as opposed to just putting new amendments all the time, you know, like things that revise certain amendments that are there. Travis said it also really well in the beginning, is that the Second Amendment was originally drawn up to protect the people from the federal government in case they were to impose on the people. The Second Amendment right, which the people argue against now, was originally put in there to help you. Because, for example, I don't know if this is a Travis guy, but we always talk about the Obama guys, right? The guys that are he's going to come take my gun. He's going to do this. Technically, the Second Amendment is there.
Soldiers.
Yeah, for us, in case they do start to implement that, they do start to come in and they turn into a completely dictating government body that we can fight back.
But that would never happen now. Back then it was possible because the country was smaller, the amount of people that you had to influence was a lot smaller. You could literally let's just go back to the original time when the Revolutionary War happened. I guess we're talking about probably 16 full colonies at that time. I could be wrong on that number. We're talking about maybe 100,000 total people spread out over 16 colonies. It's a lot easier to influence and control 100,000 people than it is 330 million.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
You're suggesting that it would be impossible today for a rogue government. I'm not even talking about Obama specifically. You don't think it's possible for a rogue government to come in and do that to us today?
We are going to take that question and discuss it when we get back here on The Cue, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to us on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI. Travis Cook, Mark Bland, Dan Walsh, producer Bobby. We'll be back on the show after this.
Didn't think so.
How you doing, young lady? The feeling that you're giving really drives me crazy. You don't have a play about the choke. I was at a loss for words first time that we spoke.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Cue, of course. Mark Bland, joined today by noted conservative and Tea Party lover Travis Cook, as well as producer Bobby Dan Walsh, flying polar vortex reality that he is. And Dan is in the middle of his season of the Real World Road Rules Challenge, The Island.
In Georgia only.
In Georgia. We are watching this bad boy. And let me tell you something. I've got some notes. We're going to talk about it off the air. I got some notes for you. I got to figure out.
You haven't really been watching it, have you?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Are you kidding me?
On the side.
I thought you were joking.
Travis brought up a question before we went to break there. And that question was, Travis?
That question was, you had basically said that you thought it was impossible for the federal government today to come in and oppress the people the way that maybe they might have been able to do earlier in history. And I'm asking you, do you really think that's impossible? And I'm not even talking about Obama being the rogue federal government. He might be. But is it impossible for a rogue federal government of some kind to oppress the people?
I actually believe that it would be darn near impossible, honestly. You have way too many people. You have way too many people that think like Travis and think like Dan and think like myself and think like you. We're not idiots. We're not stupid idiots. We understand that there is a formula that we live by here in the United States of America of how we vote and put people into power. And if somebody decided that they were going to go out of their way to try to circumvent or usurp that power, there's 330 million. Like, you got to understand, the United States of America and the citizens of this country are literally, in most cases, I won't go all 330 million, but let's just say a solid 200 million strong, just basically walking soldiers that are willing to fight for our country at any one given time.
Yes, I agree with you.
That is true.
I agree with you. But there's also the fear factor. I have a friend who just got out of the military. He's been in the army for 8 years. He has been at the front lines. He has been shot at and everything. But he has a fear that the government will send out some sort of chemical warfare against our own people, something to suppress us and put us into these things called FEMA camps and into these other different, essentially American concentration camps.
But you got to also understand the kind of country we are in comparison to the kind of country the other countries in the world are that have had that happen to them. You have to understand that those people in those places, most of those countries had kings and shahs. They've had people that were one specific person in power where they used the military against the people to control the country within it. And then eventually, like a Che Guevara or someone like that, comes out of the woodwork with their own version of the exact same thing to take it over and create a communist society or whatever society. We don't have a country that was designed that way. We don't have a country where the people live under a fear that they're constantly being beat down at all.
You have
a moral fear that you make up in your mind, but you don't you don't go to work afraid the same way Georgians would back when the communists were running Russia and Georgia was under Russian rule. Like, you don't go to school. Like, you don't have problems where you walk into your 7-Eleven with a guy who's got an M16 literally in his hands standing outside, and if you don't do what he says, he will shoot you. You have none of that fear. All of those other countries do have that fear.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you can't get it on the same level. I agree with him. I say the fact that look at our society. Our society, yeah, there are people like us that wouldn't allow it. But here's combat 101. You walk into a war zone in their hometown, you better have 4-1 odds at least. And I'm sorry, majority of the Americans are not educated. They don't have any kind of discipline. All you got to do, you want to know how they can control us? Look at every single American and how they use their phones, how they use the cable, how they use that. We are constantly taking in messages. We can be controlled like there is no tomorrow. And here's the deal.
Absolutely.
When push comes to shove, how many people, although talk tough, are really going to stand up and not just go with it? I think if someone hijacked our cable and our phones
and our cell phone
and said, "Listen, you either sign everything over to us, or we're gonna cut off usage of all this." I think if they held a secret ballot or a secret way of doing it, I think half our people would vote.
I doubt it highly. I mean, I'm not trying to sit there and wax poetic on this situation by any means whatsoever. But I want you guys to understand that, like, I think that there are more people, like, listen, I might be a moderate, okay? And I tend to lean liberal. And you might be a hardcore conservative. But at the base gut of both of us as human beings, put the politics to the side, we're human beings. We know what it looks like in a third world country or some of these other countries where they run over their people. It doesn't matter what our politics are. Human nature will take over. And the breed of people that happen to be citizens of the United States have a little bit more fire in their belly than most of these other places.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do.
Have you ever seen the movie Demolition Man?
Yes.
Whenever that catastrophe hits, and then there was one guy who raises up, and all of a sudden he's that nice guy, and everybody just flocks to him, and you'll see it in disasters anywhere. Yeah. They all look for a leader. He presents himself as the nice guy, but the next thing you know, he's imposing everything on these people. They have no basic human rights. I think America is set up for that. If they have one bad catastrophe, and one dude rises up and gives them hope, when he gives them hope, they will succumb to anything he tells them, and over years of manipulation, we will become a dictated state under a person's oppression.
Wasn't that somebody's campaign slogan?
Yeah. I noticed it, too. I wasn't going to say anything. But I think previous generations might have been had more gumption, like Mark is suggesting. I fear about this generation that's out here now. I really do. And I think that in a disaster, or if, let's just say somebody, I'm not going to say the current guy, it could be anyone, but let's just say someone tried to really offend the rights and really jump down on people's rights, but they gave certain things to certain people that they wanted or they felt they were entitled to, I think they'd back them.
Absolutely.
I think there's a lot of people 100%. In America today that would say, well, you know what, they're doing this to the rich people, but hey, I'm getting something out of it. It's like the old thing in Germany when everybody always asks,
but is that really about America, or is that more just human nature?
I think that's human nature.
It's really not America as any more susceptible or less susceptible than anywhere else. And I'm not saying that we are less susceptible completely. I'm not saying that it will never happen ever. I just don't think, like, based off of the information that's out there, knowing what I know about the people, knowing what I know about this country, knowing about the history of this country and where it came from and how we fought as hard as we did to get to where we're at, I really do not believe that we would just let these things fall by the wayside. I don't think that if they even took over our phones, I think there would be a lot of people that would be like, okay, this sucks. They took over our phones. I'm just shutting my phone off. I'm not going to use it anymore. Like, I'm done with that.
Here's my number one example of that. Remember the whole Wall Street protests? What was it? Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, Wall Street.
When it got cold and rainy and everyone started leaving, and that you had people back in the day that were getting sprayed by fire hoses for civil rights. These guys come out there and they protest Wall Street, and the minute the weather gets inclement, they start to leave. You broke them down that easy.
I think that the difference between what you're saying and the example that you're using from the past in the civil rights movement and things like that is there was no visible change happening. You had, and I talked about this when it was going down originally a few years ago, like you had 300 or 400 people standing at the base of a high-rise building in New York City, 300 or 400 deep, signs, all that. But the guy they're yelling at that they're angry about, he's 80 stories up in a completely closed-off office. He can see them down there. He can't hear a word they're saying. His phones keep ringing. They're still making money, and he just doesn't care. The difference is with the civil rights movement, our time period, the things of how life worked back then, we were much more, like, think about our neighborhoods nowadays. Back then, people actually knew their neighbors really well. People hung out. Even when we were growing up, Dan and Travis and Bobby, like, when we were younger in the 80s, like, you knew the kids in the neighborhood, all the kids would play with each other. They, you know, they, now, I, as a father, I'm a little worried at times in my neighborhood with my daughter or my son being outside alone without me out there. Like, I'm afraid of that. Back when I was a kid, I was 6 years old, I was on my bike. I would literally be 3 or 4 neighborhoods away hanging out with some kids, and I'd just ride home because I knew that I had to be home by dark or by 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever. Like, we don't have that society anymore. So back then, we were much more intricately connected to each other. And so, like, when this person had a real problem with an issue, others took notice of that more. You could see the visible change. So even if you were getting sprayed with fire hoses, you saw visible change happening day by day, week by week, in the overall sense of America. And so therefore, you felt compelled to continue to go back and continue to fight the good fight. You don't have that with Occupy Wall Street.
I think what you've backed into here is, you're right, there's very much a difference today in terms of how connected we are with each other and our neighbors and so on and so forth. And I think for that reason, if something started to hit the fan, you would see it would be a lot harder for the people to band together and rise up against it, because we don't trust each other. Fair at all. Enough. We don't have there's reason no to unity. Trust each other these days.
And there's no discipline, because there was one guy they were going after, and then back in the civil rights, there was multiple people. Yes. Their enemy was all around them. They had one guy where they knew where he was at, and they still backed out. Like, well, to me, that's actually a sign of the lack of discipline, not the amount.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, Travis.
I would go further to say that if you're in a situation where some federal government is radically infringing on the rights of some that you consider to be your enemies, and you perceive that you're getting something out of it, that lack of connection that you're talking about is going to lead people to basically say, well, I'm getting mine, I'm getting a check, or I'm getting this from these people, they're telling me they're giving this to me, so you know what, I'm okay with it, I'm not going to fight it. And it's like it was in Germany, they would say, well, hey, the trains are running on time.
You know what? You brought up something very interesting. You keep throwing out the welfare aspect. That's one of the things you like to talk
about. I didn't say anything about it, but I'm getting a check.
Yeah. I'm getting a check. I was going to say something about it.
So
I'm getting something out of this. I want to talk to you, honestly, Travis, because one of the things I did want to talk to you about was minimum wage. You know, I wanted to bring up, where do you stand on this idea that people want a better minimum wage?
I'm against it.
Why?
I'm against it because the minimum wage essentially fixes the price of labor. And the problem with that is the people that suffer the worst for that are the people whose labor is less desired in the economy as it is. If you look back since, I want to say it was 1930, I'll have to look that up again, but 1930, I think it was the last year that African-American unemployment was comparable to white unemployment. 1931 was when the first minimum wage laws went into effect at the federal level. Since that time, black unemployment has skyrocketed. It's the people who are at the lower end of the echelon in terms of economics that lose out on the minimum wage.
So you don't feel that a person who, say, works at Jack in a Box deserves to make $10 an hour as opposed to $7.50 an hour?
I don't think there's a deserve to it one way or the other. I think they deserve whatever they negotiate with their employer, and as long as their employer pays that, we're good.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100% because of the fact there are people at McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Burger King, these places who are 40 years old. They have bachelor's degrees. Yes, I understand that.
Yeah, but that's a minority.
Well, hold on.
A minority, though, why is that a problem?
Well, why should their lack of drive and ambition in searching for a job be our problem?
But it may not be that.
I think that in 2014, though, what we used to consider a schmaltzy little high school job for a 16-year-old that eventually you would work your way out of and get into working into management at a company, or eventually getting into the fast track of sales or becoming a realtor, whatever the job that you choose after that is.
Correct.
I think those days are gone. I think a job is a job now. I think that you are just as valuable an employee and as a person who's working, whether you work at Jack in the Box making tacos or whether you're a CEO who's driving a Ferrari and making $1 million a year. Like, you literally are working hard in both cases.
Here's the problem. We talk about, you know, what someone deserves for their job or anything like that. We get into this trap of saying, well, they work hard. They work hard. A wage is not there to define how hard you work or to reflect how hard you work. A wage is there to reflect how valuable your contributions are to the business and the economy as a whole. And guess what? You may work.
But you just said.
Wait. Let me finish. Okay. And then you'll let me finish. You may be the hardest working buggy whip maker in the world, but there's not a demand for buggy whips. So guess what? You're probably not going to make a lot of money doing
that.
Right,
of course.
And okay.
If buggy whips are not dead, we're talking about jobs that are needed. And here's the funny thing. The kicker to what you just said is you just doubled over on yourself.
How?
You immediately, the first thing you said was a wage does not dictate, or working hard does not dictate your value or whatever to a job. But then you turned around in the next sentence and said it's your contribution and value to a job.
Yeah, no, what he's saying is the job itself. Yeah. What is the level of the job? Not the person. Yeah, if a 16-year-old can do it.
Who cares what the level of the job is? That's my argument.
Your contribution and value is not based on the amount of effort.
My argument is
your contribution and value is based on how critical your contributions are to the production of that good or service.
Have you ever worked for minimum wage?
Yes, I have.
Bobby, have you?
Yes.
I have never in my life, and I don't have a degree, I've never worked for minimum wage. Even when I worked at White Castle, which is a fast food restaurant, they paid about $1.30 over minimum wage. I have gone to seek jobs that paid more. I got into the restaurant business where, yeah, the hourly is lower, but with tips, I'm making 10, 11 bucks an hour.
Right, fair
exactly.
Enough.
You have to go look for the job. You can't, I'm sorry, you cannot just because a person settles for that job, a 16-year-old kid who smokes pot nonstop, which is the that I get at Jack in the Box,
sure,
does not deserve $10.15. And if a dude has a bachelor's degree and he's working at Jack in the Box, he needs to ask himself why the hell he's working at Jack in the Box. Because I guarantee you, it's not because there's nothing else out there. Cooks at any restaurant, any low-end restaurant, started at least $8 an hour. Dishwashers do. If you're working at Jack in the Box and you have a PhD, you have something in your past
but
that makes you unhireable.
They'll say that eight's still not enough. Like, what we have a problem with in our country is that inflation and the living wage, you
correct
used to get raises every 6 months to a year. Like, that's
right,
how life
right
was. My mom did it, your mom did it, your dad did it, your mom did it. You know, everybody got a job. And then because everyone understood there was inflation, everybody, all these companies understood that there was a need to like increase slowly things because gas would go up, food would go up, things like that. They would give raises. Now companies don't give raises. Some do, but the majority and some of the jobs we're talking about, they just don't give you raises.
Jack in the Box does give raises though. They give them like 30 cents every like 6 months.
So if you're stuck where you're stuck, but they don't, because they wouldn't be saying that they have this problem.
No, they're saying it because they're trying to get you to get behind them. But no, I know people that work for Jack in the Box. They get raises. It's not incredible amount.
What's the person's name?
I'm not giving their name out.
First name.
We need a first name.
Jack in the Box is not one of those places.
Is their insurance company?
I think they are Blue Cross, actually.
Here's the problem with where you're going on this.
Yes.
The problem with where you're going on this is you're making the assumption that it is the employer's responsibility to make sure that everybody has some certain minimum level of existence. That is not true.
I agree with you.
The company's responsibility is to make sure they turn a profit. Nothing more, nothing less.
Correct.
It's not their job to make sure that you have any sort of minimum standard of living.
But
although our poor in this country have a great standard.
Wouldn't they want their employees to be happy, to be loyal? You know, the reason Costco is so successful is because they have a minimum, I think of the start is 10. They go up from there within a year to 12. And then, like, most of their employees are making about 20 an hour now.
Yeah.
But they work at a warehouse club. Here's the funny thing. They're loyal. Their employees are loyal as hell.
That's one strategy you can take, and I'm totally cool with companies taking that strategy if they feel that works for them, okay? And it's a really good strategy for situations where you're in a competitive industry where talent is at a premium. But if you're in a situation where, okay, I can go get another fry cook, and they're kind of a dime a dozen, why should I pay this one more and either, okay, not have the job to begin with, or, you know what, I'm going to have to raise the price of my hamburger.
I love you, but I have a real problem with the way you formulate that sentence. Like, my problem is that regardless of the politics and your beliefs of why you say what you you kind of come off when you make that statement as, well, if you're a fry cook, then you're a piece of trash. That's literally almost what it sounds like.
He's just
like,
saying their level of work, and he's not going to call him a doctor.
You're just worthless.
What I'm saying is this. In this case, the fry cook, to use that example, the fry cook is fairly easy to replace. Okay, it's not hard to go find another one. I think we can agree on that.
Okay. Correct.
Therefore, why would you artificially raise the wage of that person when you can get someone else to work for that wage or lower? Why should it artificially be raised?
Mark, I happen to know two people, and I'm not going to mention names, but I know two guys
Bob and Ryan.
I'm not going to say it, but no, both these guys are on crack. I'm not going to lie. I know they are. They are. And they work for $10 an hour. If you're telling me that two guys that are all up in crack can get a $10 an hour job, but a PhD can't, I don't buy it.
Not only are these two guys all up in crack, but you can be a professional college football player getting ready to go to the NFL, and you can be all up in some male crack. And it's cool. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Nothing wrong with it. By the way, Michael Sam, definitely lots of sacks this season.
Ooh.
Tons of sacks.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on a little bit here. I got a couple of other things I want to talk about. You talked about North Korea, South Korea earlier. It's actually funny that you mentioned that. High-ranking officials from North Korea and South Korea met in a border village on Wednesday. In their highest level talks in years, the meeting had no set agenda. It was requested by Pyongyang, leading optimists to speculate that it could be a sign the communist regime wants to improve ties with South Korea after pulling back from a flurry of belligerent rhetoric last year. The two Koreas plan reunions later this month for families separated in the 1950 to 53 Korean War. So maybe there's a little on the outskirts. Maybe there's a
I think
some
once
peace.
You've ran out of all your resources, you need to start making amends with the group that's into commercialism.
And they're doing damage control after Dennis Rodman.
I want to let everybody know.
Damn Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman is out of control.
You ruined our country. I cannot feed you to the dogs like I did my uncle.
Why did everyone get upset? It's Dennis Rodman. Anything that guy does, I'm just like, it's Rodman.
All right. So, listen, we are going to be doing an overtime as we usually do after the show. You download this at theqnow.com on iTunes, on Stitcher. You can listen to it live on Stitcher. And right after the closing song plays, the song for the beginning of overtime plays, we're going to be doing best Will Ferrell performance in this tournament of pop culture.
Sweet.
We're going to be doing a tournament of pop culture. Best Sweet. Will Ferrell performance. So we have a comedian in Dan.
Yes,
he knows a lot. Travis is fat, so he probably...
I'm not fat.
He sees a lot of funniness every day.
I am built low to the ground, and I am extremely chiseled. Powerful physique.
He's like a human basset hound. That's what he is. He's just low to the ground, big-chested.
Holy cow.
Big, broad shoulders.
Did you just call him a human?
And a 52nd-degree black belt.
The
Let
human
us not forget
basset
that.
Hound, yeah. Travis
52nd
Cook.
52nd-degree black belt.
52nd-degree black belt possible? And
feng shui. When Travis Cook walks through the snow, he's like a plow. He just pushes it with his chest.
I am the master of the ancient oriental fighting art of feng shui.
All right.
Do not want to get in my
he moves. As you know, we always get to a little questions. I'm just going to do a rapid fire around the on one question here. One of the questions I got this past week was, what is something that made you say, damn, I'm old? First, Travis Cook. Something that made you think, damn, I'm old.
When I saw one of the Spice Girls on TV and went, damn, she looks old. And then I realized, wait, I was in college when they were big.
Fair enough. All right. What about you, Babu?
Shirley Temple died.
Does that make you feel old?
Yeah.
Shirley Temple wasn't even really part of your...
I was going to say, were you alive in the Depression?
She was old, pickle show,
she was
didn't
old
you?
When
she
you were
was
born.
Born in like 23, wasn't
but
she?
Like, I thought she was already dead.
Well, okay,
it made
there's
me feel
that.
Old.
Maybe so you should feel younger.
So you weren't hanging out at the Charlie Chaplin Film Festival?
I wasn't. You know, Frank Sinatra wasn't a good friend of mine.
That made you feel old. All right, what about you, Dan?
Whenever they showed the trailers, because this will go off of the comedy movies, they're showing these little bit trailers. You can find them online for the new Dumb and Dumber movie.
Okay.
All right. And there's the kid, people who play each other are playing each other again. The kid who played the blind kid is a man. He's a man. And you're like, wow, was
doing
that,
the birthday,
that
yeah.
old? Like, I thought, like, I remember watching that as like a kid somewhat in like middle school. And I'm like, wow, that's a man. Like, this little kid is a man now. I'm old.
The thing that caught me off guard with the damn I'm old is video games. I hate to say this, but the idea that now if I start into a video game, okay, the graphics are so far ahead of where they used to be.
Yeah.
And like the learning curve is that much more difficult. That really made me say, damn, I'm old, because I'm a computer type guy. You know, I've got a strong background in technology. I'm not an idiot. I can pick things up relatively quickly. I jump on Madden or some of these other games, and it's like, dude, if you didn't catch Madden 97, like, you're not up to par today. You need to go back, like, 14, 15 years just to catch up to where you're at. So that really made me feel old.
Remember
so,
when Defender was, like, the most complex game in the world?
Oh, yeah, dude, that's what I'm talking about. So, hey, listen, it's time for us to take a quick break here on the Q. When we get back, we're going to be doing Game On, Game Off.
Yes.
As well as maybe a letter for Dr. Dan and Dr. Travis.
Ooh.
Oh, this is a good letter. This is going to be a very interesting one, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back on the Q after this.
I'm Michael Sam. I'm a college graduate. I'm African American, and I'm gay.
Take it back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Mark Bland, joined today by Travis Cook, professional wrestling manager extraordinaire with Dynamo Pro Wrestling, as well as around the St. Louis area, and only the St. Louis area. Bobby, producer Bobby.
What up, what up?
World champion of the Polar Vortexes themselves, Dan Walsh.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The world champion of Polar Vortexes is here joining us today. We are we're having a fun time talking with Travis now that he told me who his insurance company was off the air.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
You
and
have
that was really
no
nice.
Idea.
It's
that
Geico.
Was, it was, well, sort of. close enough. Basically, it's time for Game On, Game Off. And Travis, do you understand the rules of Game On, Game Off? It's been a while since you've been allowed on our show.
Yeah, your ratings tanked, so you brought me back. But yeah, I think I sort of have an idea.
I don't think the ratings tanked at all. Actually, Bobby joined the show. Dan Walsh came on. We did an addiction episode just a few weeks ago that was the highest rated one we had ever done.
Oh, come
on.
So,
yeah, that happened.
Bringing Bobby on here is like bringing the new kid on Different Strokes.
Oh, wow. He just called you the new kid on Different Strokes.
Look, you may be seasoned in the wrestling world, but I've been pretty seasoned in this radio game for quite a bit of time. On the highest level, 65 markets. I think I know what I'm doing.
I think Bobby can. Bobby can take out anything you put up against him in the ring.
I think he's the Ted McGinley of the queue. Now, nevertheless,
wow. Let me show you Ted McGinley. Travis Cook.
I am a retired professional wrestler. I do not.
No. You're a retired referee who happens to manage now. You never were a professional wrestler.
I have wrestled in the past, but you know, I left the glory to the younger guys these days.
Yeah, left the glory when you were younger. Also to the younger guys those days.
That's very professional of you, by the way.
I think you left your
hair. There's a lot of old
guys. I think you left your hair to the younger guys too.
At the right time.
All right. Well, it's time for Game On, Game Off, which every single week, basically the whole point of Game On, Game Off is we kind of hip you guys to new cool things that are on the verge of breaking out or something that you need to know about that is getting ready to become popular. As well as Game Off is the opposite of that, taken from our friends in Wayne's World. Game Off is basically stating, here's a trend or a topic or something people talk about that just needs to stop. It needs to end immediately, like the Tea Party. That could be a really good Game Off.
We will
game
save
off.
This nation.
Game Off,
Game
Tea
Off,
Party.
TCO.
TCO. There it is. Game Off.
I think we know what that stands for.
Like, in a few months when the draft's over with, Game Off, Michael Sam being gay. Like, that's going to be a Game Off.
Yeah,
because
nobody's going to care.
They're not going to care.
Well, I will say this. If he makes it as a professional football player, I don't think people will care, and most fans don't care right now. I think the only way it will become an issue is if, since he's a third, fourth round pick, a lot of those guys get cut. If some team has to cut him, then they're going to get the media backlash of, oh, you cut the gay guy. And then there's going to be a lot of controversy about that. But if he makes it, it'll sort of be for, I mean,
don't lie,
be
you're
forgotten.
A Mizzou fan. You're a Mizzou fan. You love Michael Sam.
I will say I pretty much saw him grow up in front of my eyes. I'm a season ticket holder for several years now.
You love the fact that Michael Sam has gotten a lot of sacks every single season.
His defensive ability has been good. I will not comment about the sacks he's gotten in the on or off season.
He's gotten a lot of sacks, man.
That's what I've heard. How many sacks has he taken? Any? No, because he wouldn't. He's defensive. That would be ridiculous.
He never takes a sack. He never takes a sack, but he definitely.
But I hear he gives them.
He gives sack hard. That's all I'm saying. He's good for 8-10, is what the coach told me. He's good for 8-10 every single
yard. Yards
yeah.
A play.
Sure.
That's right. Oh, my goodness.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Also, don't forget, I was recently on an episode of the show called Straight Outta Low Cash. I was their guest. We talked about quite a few things, including the Bill Nye creationist debate that happened
recently,
which was a really cool, interesting thing. If you get a chance, you should check that out. But it's now time for Game Off and Game On. So we're going to start off with Bobito. Producer Bobby, we want you to start this week's episode of Game On, Game Off.
All right. So my Game On,
okay,
I had an amazing Game On because until I opened my Yahoo News, and I haven't been able to figure anything else out to replace this, but my Game On was this amazing app called Flappy Bird.
Now, see, okay, we were talking about this a little bit off the air.
Yeah.
Okay, and because you were unhappy about the Game On situation. And the Flappy, so for all of you out there that don't understand what's going on here, there was a game for your iOS, for your Android, for whatever, you know, correct, your cell phone. It's a game called Flappy Bird. And basically the whole point is it literally looks like characters from Mario Brothers, like a bird character version of Mario Brothers, basically. Yeah, that's the sound of it. And basically there is two pipes, or there's pipes that you have to go up and down between, and every time you touch the screen, that makes your bird flap.
Correct.
And you have to, like, control it through these different levels and mazes, pretty much.
Right.
Simple. Well, evidently, this past week, the developer of that game, a specific individual, decided that he no longer wanted to have the game available for people to download, so he took it completely off the markets.
Right.
Off of iTunes, off of the iOS, Google, off of Google, all of it. Just took it straight down, and if you had it on your phone, great. That's awesome.
But you will never get it again.
You'll never get it again. There's going to be no updates for it. And the funny thing is that when they asked him why he took Flappy Bird down, as popular as the game is, he said he just couldn't handle the stress of the popularity of the game. Which, like, to me is stupid.
Is this like the Kurt Cobain of video gaming?
Must be, man. I mean, seriously, that's not a bad analogy, because I can't see why something that is obviously not intrinsic to you, like, all it is you created the game and you put it up on the iOS.
Right.
You don't have to touch it or talk to it or do anything with it. Like, you might want to do updates here and there and that, correct, and the other, but as long as the game's just downloading and making you money, just deal with it. Like, sit back and let your bank account get big.
He doesn't even really have to market it much.
Yeah, you don't. No. That's the point. Like, it's a non-touch type thing. Like, you don't have to touch it once you do what you did. And I don't understand why you would want to take that down, but he did, and that's where we stand, ladies and gentlemen. So Flappy Birds was going to be your Game On, but do you have a Game On instead?
I don't. I mean, Game On the new iPhone 5S, I guess.
Oh, God, that, don't even do that. You just really took all your credibility away after your Windows Game On. Okay. Game Off, then.
My Game Off.
Making video games for phones and then taking them down.
No. Like, my Game Off, you know, you were talking about feeling old based upon video games.
Sure.
Well, I am a huge Madden player. I use this feature called Madden Ultimate Team.
You're really good at getting 14 points a game and getting wiped, right? Getting beat?
No, I don't lose.
You don't lose with your Green Bay Crackers?
No, stop it. So anyway, Madden Ultimate Team, what happens is you get a deck of cards, and that's your team you start with. Over time, you earn points by playing certain games and beating people by certain levels, doing certain accomplishments.
Is this like Magic the Gathering for Madden?
No. And you eventually will build up your level of, you know, rating.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm playing against people online, and it pisses me off when people are playing with RG3 and Colin Kaepernick. Game off, RG3, Colin Kaepernick.
Why?
Because they don't pass the ball. They don't use anybody else on the field except for RG3 and Colin Kaepernick. They almost throw and then run and then catch their own pass, is what it seems like.
You know, Travis would be against that. He would say that that's fine, because if there's a loophole and you can exploit it, then that's
not even a loophole. It's a legal play. But it sounds like what you're describing is sort of the modern day version of Bo Jackson on Tecmo Super Bowl.
I loved it. Love Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl.
I was a Christian Okoye guy. He would, like, kill people.
Who doesn't love? Who doesn't love Christian Okoye?
The Nigerian Nightmare.
There it is.
It's
so game off RG3 and Colin Kaepernick specifically within
Madden.
Other than that, they're fine.
Other than that, they're great. They're great individuals, yes.
They're great human
beings.
They're
great people. But it's really annoying in this game.
Travis Cook, would you like to give me a game on?
I'd like to give you a game off, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
This is one for our wrestling fans out there. I know people listen to this show who are wrestling fans. My game off is Daniel Bryan. I am so sick.
All right. Fair enough. Go ahead.
I am so sick and tired.
This is a good game off, I bet.
Daniel Bryan loses a match or doesn't get just exactly the type of win that people want, that Facebook and Twitter and everything else just explodes, that they're not building the promotion around the guy. He's a decent good guy. He's a decent baby face. But I'm sorry, John Cena at this point is a far better babyface.
Stop.
I think it's fine that Daniel Bryan is in the mix among the good guys, but he's not the guy. He's not there yet. Maybe he will be one day, but he's not there yet. So
I think he's definitely on his way.
I think he's on his way.
How can you not say he is not the guy when you get an entire stadium chanting your name? Because John Cena actually did not get that. John Cena got people saying that he sucked.
I will answer
actually,
your question.
Actually, yeah, both sides sucked. He actually polarized an entire crowd, and that to me is more impressive.
Yeah, it is.
That you
it's
actually can
impressive.
Get that much emotion out of both sides of
and,
a person.
And I will answer this, and I say this being a crusty veteran of the wrestling business, as you other two gentlemen are as
you
well.
Are a guy who's watched professional wrestling videotapes for many years. Good job.
And
go
have
on.
Managed a lot of great champions in
you
my day.
You have managed
currently
a lot of local guys.
Now,
yes.
I will you've also done very I good will say it. This. There's something far more important than getting a crowd to chant, yes, yes, yes. That more important thing is selling merchandise. And I'm sorry.
I bet you he sells, though. No,
he
I'm sorry.
He does sell something. No, I
bet
have
you. No. I bet
but
you
he doesn't sell on Cena's level.
But then again, you're also like, there. You know, you brought up earlier apples to oranges. Like, you're talking about a guy who's had a career that's been 10 full years, and basically from year two of his career, he was WrestleMania fodder. I mean, right. Hardcore WrestleMania fodder from year two. So, like, Daniel Bryan, out of his 7 years that he's been with the WWE, four of them were literally in limbo, technically.
So, right. maybe
it's just the last three that he's
so
actually
maybe
really
he's
kind of
on
caught
his
on.
Way up. But my point is, all these internet folks that are saying, well, they should make Bryan the top guy, the top babyface right now. I'm sorry, he's not there yet. He might get there one day, but he's not there yet. This is still John Cena's ball to run.
So, is there a wrestler that you think is more deserving than Daniel Bryan at this point
of being the top babyface
that is not John Cena? Do you think there's somebody else that can fill that role?
In WWE, I don't think there is right now. I think CM Punk could have been there, but he took his ball and went home. I think Roman Reigns has a lot of potential, but he's a long way from it. There's a long way from that right
now. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I've agreed with almost everything that he has said.
I'm actually amazed that this entire show you've agreed with almost everything Travis has said. Well, no, like,
okay,
literally,
no.
Dan.
All right, here's the deal.
There's potential for Dan Walsh.
If you give him the belt,
know,
you
Travis
put him everything.
Cook, if Travis Cook managed,
then you just killed it. You've killed any momentum this kid's building. He's building it. This is the process. The emotions these people are feeling, they don't even acknowledge that that's the work. That's what they're feeling how they want them to feel. Over the years, I think the cancer to wrestling was letting the fan feel more important than they really were.
Yes.
They were fans. That was it. They're not analysts. If you want to be a wrestler, you get your ass in the ring and you wrestle. I don't have any time for a kid who can't even, you know, get off of the computer telling me how I'm going to work inside of a ring. You have no idea. Daniel Bryan has great potential, and he's awesome, and he's an everyman, and that's why everyone's around him, and I'm a huge fan. But as far as the face of the company, I think they need to let it build. I think Roman Reigns is one of those guys where it's potential, but he's a big dude. That's great. How many big dudes we ever seen come in, and they were the talk of the town? I'm just going to say Ryback. And they got written into a corner, and you don't see anything. They could only do that one thing. Daniel Bryan has proven himself. I think he's going to get there, but I think right now, why push it?
Yeah,
they're already having a good time.
I think what's going on with Bryan right now is it really is an old-school babyface build using new-school technology like social media and so forth.
All right, well, if you're in disagreement with the way that this is being handled by the fans, if they wanted to see a proper build of a professional wrestler, even if it's an old school video or show or something like that, what should they check out?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Dude, because he didn't touch, I mean, for his big push, I mean, what was it, 2 years before he ever touched? So game on Stone Cold Steve Austin stuff.
I would say Sting in WCW was like that. I would say, believe it or not, Dusty Rhodes way back in the day.
When he was feuding with Flair?
We feuded with Flair, baby. But they built
son
him,
of a plumber.
They
he's
built
the
him for
dweeb.
Years chasing the world
the
champion.
Difference
and then
back
eventually,
that,
yeah, eventually.
But the won. Difference back then is that people's eyes were blinded more back then. They literally were. They really believed hardcore the realism of what professional wrestling was back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Like, that wasn't like fodder. Now, the veil's kind of been pulled back.
But you know what, though? Even in the midst of the veil being pulled back, these fans that are Bryan fans, and I'm not saying it's an overwhelming group, but they believe in Daniel Bryan. So that's why I'm saying you continue to let it build. You don't build it around him yet, because once you build it around him immediately, he's going to be yesterday's news.
Yeah, but
they're
we're also dealing with a YouTube society. We're dealing with a fickle society, a society that doesn't want to sit around and wait for a 2-year build on a character anymore. That's not what they want.
So you retrain them.
The fans nowadays, they want immediacy. I'm not saying that they're right.
Of course
right.
they want it.
I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying that that's what they want.
The fans have
when
always
I was a kid,
immediacy.
I wanted to wrestle Hulk Hogan, but guess what? I never wrestled Hulk Hogan because It wasn't in the cards. It wasn't what was best for the business. And I, as a fan, was a fan. I think they need to retrain these fans. These fans have been given too much too quick. It's to a fact now where they had great builds going and they screwed it up because they're trying to cater to them. This is an ADD nation. You retrain them. I guarantee you, someone said it the best. WWE fans have the biggest case of Stockholm Syndrome known to man. They will never leave. They will talk all this trash. They will still buy the merchandise. They'll still show up, and Vince knows
that. If they haven't left in the last 10 years with what they've done, they'll never leave.
With the boogeyman, are you kidding me? And they still stayed?
I'm coming to get you.
Dan Walsh, it is now time for your Game On, Game Off. What do you got for me this week, sir?
All right, Game On. I'm kind of into, you know, everybody knows this, supplements and such. Probiotics.
CrossFit.
Probiotics, 25 billion CFUs or above. Probiotics, basically, you just take one pill and they go in and all the resin, sodium that sits inside of your digestive tract, it gets rid of it. It's not like a cleanse. So by doing that, it increases your metabolism. It will increase your immune system, and it will increase your energy. This is really a one-pill-do-all kind of a deal. After 30 days, you will feel amazing. And I'm challenging anyone to take that. Do 30 days. You will feel awesome. That's my Game On. Go check them out for a society that will feel better.
And Erin Andrews advertises probiotics, and she is my future ex-wife, so I agree with you.
She is not anything for you. She's never going to be your wife. She's never going to know your phone number.
She's a Travis Cook fantasy.
She is a total fantasy. Just
I'm
like,
the perfect kind of guy for her.
Just like your belief of how the Dynamo Pro Show at Stratford went down. It's just a fantasy. Go ahead. Did you have something to say about me? Dan, your game off.
All right, here's my game off, and this is going to rattle some cages. But yeah, I'm gonna do it. No. Game off. Every time a business closes, a church opens up with it.
Okay. All right. I'm in on this one. Where you at?
Ridiculous.
I'm totally game off of
that. They are on every corner. They have become like McDonald's. You are now commercializing religion, which, A, fuels the fire for atheists and fuels the fire for people like me who actually respect religion and spirituality and now are just losing respect day by day. It's not the religion in that I have a problem with.
Well, what specific kinds of religion are you talking about? Because I would assume that opening a church, and as long as people are willing to go there and they're willing to proselytize to others good things like the Bible speaks about, I can't see that as a negative.
Yeah, but why are they doing it, Mark? Why are they opening up these churches at every corner? Why aren't they staying at the church that's near them? Oh, because they're better. They understand the scripture that was written in dead languages that even scholars don't understand, and these people with their lack of college, they understand it better than a dude up the street. And they backtalk them, and I'm sorry, the institution of religion, not religion in itself, the institution which mankind is one of the most destructive forces that has divided and has ever affected mankind. And I'm not saying that I hate God or the belief of God. That's fine. Your spirituality can, your church can be your head. When you're doing it on every street corner, you're doing it because it's a way to make money. You're not fooling anybody. You get tax breaks for opening it. They're going to have donations. That's how they're making money, or else they wouldn't open one on every corner. It's benefiting them. Or they're so egotistical that they need people to believe their way. And I'm sorry, this is getting away from what that stuff was meant to be. I think that it's taken away from other where businesses could go. I think if you want to start a church, you need to fund it like anyone else would their own business. And not get certain breaks, and stop making it about elitism, and stop making it about who.
What if it wasn't in a shopping center, mini mart type location?
If they built their own,
like a real church looking church.
If they built their own, then fine, because that's how.
So it's just the aesthetic that is blowing your mind.
When you're putting a church in where a Hardee's used to be,
okay. Let's say they start there at the old KFC, right? Mm-hmm. They start at the old KFC, but within 2 years, they've pulled in enough donations and enough money to turn around and go build a typical Baptist looking church, like the normal with the cross on top of the spire and all that, like you're used to seeing. Now the aesthetic has changed. Same people, they just use that as an end to a mean.
But here's my issue on that. In the city of O'Fallon alone, there are abandoned churches right now that nobody's using. But you have to take up commercial space for that. And you just say it yourself, so that they can save up enough money off of donations. I'm sorry, if you're opening up a church every other block, you're killing the concept of church and people are going to take you less serious. You're doing your own disservice to your own religion.
Fair enough. All right, it's time for Game On, Game Off for myself. My Game On this week, because I try to stay as true as I can to the purposes of Game On, Game Off, my Game On is the movie Rush. Have you seen the movie Rush, gentlemen?
Is that the one? Who's in that?
This is the one that has
Gordon-Levitt?
No, this is the one that has the guy who plays Thor, Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth in it. It's the story of Niki Lauda in Formula One racing.
Oh, I was going to premium rush the little bike dude.
Does he spit on his hand? Because if he does,
no,
then
he
I
doesn't.
Don't want to
see
it.
He does not, but it is up for Best Picture, and I just caught it the other night by a whim. I decided to watch it, and it was amazing. It was a great movie. It signifies exactly what they should be looking for at the Academy Awards. Like, really good acting, great storyline, even though it's not something that I typically... a fodder that I typically get into with Formula One. I like racing, but Formula One's not necessarily my style.
I raced a Formula One car one time.
Amazing. Did you really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I had for a little while, I had the longest crash at Laguna Seca Speedway.
Nice.
That's not something to brag about,
that
but
is
they literally
awesome.
They measured
hell
it.
Ain't. But the fact that you got to like race Laguna Seca, that's impressive.
It was
a lot of people
fun.
A lot of people would not be able to
scary
say
scary as hell. Total respect for those guys.
So if you get a chance, go check out the movie Rush. It is worth your time and effort. I would recommend it to anybody. Game off this week, and this could be a little polarizing. Could be.
Who you?
Being Punk in 2014. And I'm not talking about CM Punk. Okay. I'm talking about I'm anti this, I'm anti that, I'm against the world, the world's crashing down on me, Punk. The whole idea of punk music and the idea of what punk signifies is a thing. We're not there anymore as a society. I'm sorry. I'm not knocking people who like punk. There's nothing wrong with people who like punk music. There's nothing wrong with just the idea of what punk signifies in its life. But to sit there and basically, no disrespect, Travis, taking that Tea Party aspect of what punk symbolizes and just infusing it into every single piece of your life.
I didn't know there was any kind of Tea Party aspect in punk. I've never heard those things.
Check the internet.
The idea, the idea of infusing this overreaching ideal into every single thing and how you handle all things. It's not needed. You don't need to. Like, there is no overbearing necessity whatsoever to have this I'm anti-everything at all times.
I just
be a person who enjoys certain things. Let yourself be yourself, and that's fine. But if I can read that you are just doing it for the sake of doing it, that to me seems fake.
Right.
So game off being punk for the sake of saying that you're punk.
I'm still looking for the first person at a Tea Party rally to have like a safety pin in their cheek because I've never seen that.
Well, it is kind of the anti-Tea Party. You guys are for every kind of establishment.
You guys are gauging all of those different problems in the world.
The challenge
just
is
like
out
people
there.
Do
a Tea Party punk band. Let's see who does it.
All right, last thing before we're going to get out of here on the show. Real quick, I got another question. Because we're going to be doing overtime. We're going to be doing a tournament of pop culture. Will Ferrell performances, top 16 Will Ferrell performances. We'll get down to a champion on that one.
Yep.
Let me see here. What is a popular saying that you think is complete BS? Travis Cook.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that.
Something people say that you're just like, that's BS. Don't even say that stuff.
Oh, jeez. I'm on the spot now. I can't think of one.
What about you, Bobby? Anything?
That whole YOLO thing. You only live once.
Right.
YOLO.
Okay. You think that's just
stupid?
Stupid BS. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. What about you, Dan Walsh?
I like YOLO. I live my life by it. Why do you think I would do such stupid stuff? What saying do I? That I. We the people.
Ooh. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm going to go with, it is what it is. When people say it is what it is, that means absolutely nothing. Of course it is what it is. That's the reality of what something is. That's like, it is what it is. It's a cup. It just is what it is. It's like, it's a cup, man. We understand. It holds water and things like that. That means nothing and makes you sound stupid to somebody who's got semantics and grammar under control.
It is what it is. Nothing more, nothing less.
Didn't Mike Martz, the old Rams coach, use that phrase in every press conference?
I don't know, but you know what? I can tell you this, Travis, the best part of the show is just to reach us. It's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to first off thank Travis Cook for being here on the show. Also, I want to thank producer Bobby as well as Flying Reality Dan Walsh.
Polar Vortex,
the
baby.
Polar Vortex, man. This is... appreciate all of you guys being on the show today. Don't forget to check out RadioFoodBar.com as well as TapDetroit.com where you can find replays of our show in their schedule section. Check that out to find out. TheQNow.com is where you can find us on the interwebs. Old shows, new shows, all that good stuff. As well as thank you to 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, and all the people around the world that listen every single week. We appreciate it. We will see you guys next time on The Q. It's time for overtime. Stick around. Even got it. Oh, yeah. You ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime on the Q. Today's show is special because Travis Cook is sitting in here with us.
And
America's Evil Genius on YouTube. You can check that out. You get a chance. As well as we got Dan Walsh and producer Bobby.
Yes.
You know, I messed up. I guess I didn't load the Overtime show from last week when Charles was on. And so when he was on the show, I feel horrible because, like, normally it comes on and tags on to the end of the main show.
It's just the little things.
It is the little things that are supposed
let
to
me,
be.
Let me tell you a little something about Charles. I think if there was ever a kryptonite for Travis Cook, Charles would be it.
Are you kidding me?
Holy shit. I mean, well, let's put it together. He's an African-American midget who's educated. Like, everything about this guy is everything.
Why kryptonite?
He's little person.
Because
little person.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Because he talked to us about that.
Yeah, it's the little things
in life. I apologize, Charles. Charles is an African-American dwarf.
Yes.
Who is educated. And if you were to write a list of things, he is like the superhero of minorities.
He would have made Travis kind of jump.
I don't know what scares me worse. Like,
I peed myself.
Here's what I would like to respond, because I don't know this Charles guy, and I'm not
fair
sure
enough.
You're
fair enough. Talk to. Of STL on Twitter.
But the one thing that I'm wondering is, why does Dan think that someone who would be my kryptonite just because he's of a minority persuasion, or just because he's
no
midget?
Because
I watch Bill Dundee matches.
Because,
I like midgets.
Because he's small. He's African American. There's two things that are going to scare you.
I like a lot of.
And he has an education.
Well, Thomas Sowell is an African American with an education. I love reading his books.
Fair enough.
That doesn't scare you at all?
Not at all.
Just the tiniest bit?
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
If you told me you go Democrat, then
you
we're
going to
have
problems.
Well, no, I think he was a Democrat. But I do want to say one more thing, though.
I do
respect Travis. And in fact, Travis, I've been trying to live my life a little bit more like you.
That's great.
I have. In fact, I was late here today because I was at the gas station. And this lady came up and she said, listen, me and my kids are in the car. I don't have enough money to get gas to go home, and it's really cold.
Right.
And
yeah,
I started thinking to myself, I was like, what would Travis Cook do? You know what I mean? So this is what I did. I turned around, and not only did I refuse to give her money, but I stared her in the eyes and I said, I hope it hurts when you freeze to death.
You know, and what you've done today is you've taught her a life lesson.
God, really?
We know she was lazy.
She's a lazy bit.
It's her responsibility to take care of herself, and I think you did a good thing, Daniel. So.
Wow.
I think that you got a new person in your stable now. Dan Walsh is in the Travis Cook stable. I'm a follower. Yeah, you're part of his cult that he has online.
Listen, you're a follower until mass suicide.
I do not have a cult.
He has a cult.
Some students.
You have a cult.
I have some students.
Most
who
of them
enjoy
are
my
ditzy women.
You know what? One of my Facebook followers, I mean students, said to me the other day, and I took a lot of pride in this. He said to me, Travis, I have learned more from your shows than I learned in all of my political science classes in college.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
He just happens to agree with your point of view, but you don't present the other side, so a person can't learn from it if all they're getting is one point of view.
Here's the reason for that. I don't have to present the other side because it's all over the place. You can get that from news. You can get that from Hollywood.
Sounds like you're scared of presenting the other side.
There's no reason for me to present it because you can see it anywhere you want.
Sean Penn.
I come on my show for 10, 15 minutes or so forth, all right? Now, as I think you and I have discussed off the air
America's
before,
Evil Scary Guy
America's
on YouTube.
America's Evil Genius. And even follow the hashtag.
Hashtag
Best of Travis.
Hashtag cult. Hashtag Travis cult.
Hashtag best of Travis for my all-time best views.
Hashtag so, Travis cult.
So here's what I'm doing. If I get a show that's, let's say, 10, 15 minutes long, I am the person who is funding it, writing it, producing it, everything.
I'm amazed that you can only do 15 minutes. That's blowing my mind right now.
I could do more. Some of my earlier shows were like 40 minutes. I really had to cut them down. But anyhow,
you probably should, because nobody wants to listen to you blow
anyhow,
hard for
in,
that long.
In doing that, if I present the other side, let's say I give the other side 5 minutes.
Right.
And
the
I
other
take
side.
10 for me. All right. That means I'm paid.
Which, by the way, you have done, because we have had Mark Bland on America's Evil Genius in multiple parts. So that has happened.
It has happened in the past. I don't make it a...
You don't do it on the typical. Yeah, you don't make it a habit of...
The only thing you have a habit of doing is
mixing the Kool-Aid before you put the poison in.
No, we don't have Kool-Aid here.
Right.
We have Jack Daniels, which is awesome.
You got Nikes? You got purple Nikes?
What?
Some purple...
Anyway. If I were to give 5 minutes on my show to the other side, that's 5 minutes that I have to pay for, that I have to invest my time and effort.
If he invested 5 minutes into the Dan Walsh side of things,
You'd be a happier person, my friend.
Yeah. But Dan Walsh can invest in his own 5 minutes. Why should I have to do it?
The way I see it is Travis Cook will invest in the other side when Bill Maher invests in the other side. So there's an even exchange. When Bill Maher gives the other side a point of view, Travis Cook will do it.
All right, fair enough. Time to move on. It's time for Dr. Love. I need Dr. Love.
Dr. Love.
That's right. I need Travis Cook, Dr. Travis, and Dr. Dan specifically. I've got a good one this week, guys. I'm not even going to read the other two because we're going to do the Tournament of Pop Culture. Will Ferrell movies coming up here in a second.
Yes.
But here we go. Bobby.
Yes.
I mean, you got to be ready for this. This is a good one.
Okay.
Okay, Mark, Bobby, and Dan. That's how this starts off. With you
that
involved.
That means you're part of
You've
us now.
You've become part of the show.
They really put my name. I'm so honored. Talk
about Mark, Bobby, and Dan. I have one of those doozy ones for you. I started dating this new girl. The other day, she came by my house before we went on a date, and I was taking a shower. My apartment is small and only had one bathroom. As I come out of the shower, I walk into the front room and notice the girl is coming in from outside, visibly upset and crying. I am confused. I've been in the shower. So I ask what was wrong. She says, and I quote, "You can't smell it?" screaming through her tears. At that moment, I noticed there was a foul smell in the air, but that is typical in the area my apartment sits.
Maryland Heights.
I said, "Yes, I smell that." I said, "Yes, I smell that." She exclaims that it was her. So, story is that she had an upset stomach and she had to go number two real bad, but was afraid to go into the only bathroom I have and do it while I was showering because we just started dating. So she grabbed a freezer bag from out of my drawer, took a dump in it. I walked in on her coming back in from the trash can outside. I went to the trash and saw the bag, so I know it's true. I couldn't believe my ears
whoa, 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 the story.
So should I keep her or get rid of her?
Okay, let me ask one question here, okay?
Here's the question. What the fuck?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to do my best to analyze this. God knows why. I understand. Oh, I understand that early in a relationship,
things can take it a different direction.
Well, right. Early in a relationship, you may not have the familiarity yet to walk into the bathroom while your significant other is there and drop, you know, whatever.
Right. Got
I understand that.
My wife would do it in a minute.
But if you don't have enough familiarity to crap in the bathroom while he's in the shower, how on earth do you have enough familiarity to crap in a Ziploc bag in his living room? How does that become the better option?
The better option is, yes, how did you get ballsy enough to hover over the fucking freezer bag?
And how did she get aim that good? I mean,
Listen.
Especially if your stomach's upset, that shit's going everywhere. Yeah.
The first question I have.
She shit in a bag.
The first question I have that nobody.
Fucking, it could have been better if she lit it
the
on
Olympics
fucking fire.
The Olympics are on the TV. She's squatted over.
She's a keeper. She lights it on fire.
Let me show you the luge.
The best part is the tears she's crying through as she does it. Like just, oh.
I just have one question, yes, and I think this could sum this whole thing up. Okay. What did she wipe her ass with?
I don't know, and I did ask, and it's not in the story.
And I'm sorry. This is probably the time when I would just terrorize this poor girl. But, dude, she took a shit in a bag. She's resourceful. She is not going to be a drama queen. You think she wants you to pay? She don't need you to pay. She's like, listen, I don't even need your bathroom. I'll go shit in a bag in your living room. You fucking pussy. What do you got for me? I don't need this shit on your chest. I'll shit in a bag in your living room. I own you.
Dan, what if you were the one walking out of the shower and you saw this?
At first, I'd be like, wait, what'd you do? And she would be like, I shit in a bag. And I'd be like, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. I don't want to see it. I'm going to take your word for it because why would you make that up? But, dude, you never have to worry about her being like, you didn't pay attention to me.
Yeah,
you
right.
didn't do that. She took a shit in a bag. She don't need you.
I mean,
that's marriage material.
Yeah, there's a certain lack of self-esteem and lack of self-worth on this girl that might just make her a keeper.
Travis, this sounds like the kind of girl you'd be with. I'm not going to lie.
Because there's the other side of this, which is, okay, this girl is crying while she's taking
what
a
if
shit.
She's really hot, too? Like, I'm not saying that she's like a five.
But
I'm talking about like she's a nine.
Usually a chick who will cry while taking a shit is a total head case.
Well,
but. Because that's a combination
that
ordinarily.
Did
Or she has like intestinal cancer. I mean, that could be another one. You fucking nut job. What's wrong with you? With your cancer, you crazy bitch. Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
No, first off, dude, I'm sorry. I'll take old shitty bags out anytime, dude.
Old shitty bags.
Good old,
good old shitty bags. Can you just imagine you're like sitting at like dinners with her and she's like, you know, I really feel like I got to go bathroom. And you just pull out like a bag of Ziplocs. You know, like just hand her one.
Just like, you're like,
just start peeling them off like $100 bills.
Under the table?
I would introduce her to my family and friends as old shitty bags. I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go out with old shitty bags over here. Hopefully she makes it to the toilet this time.
Walsh says that you should keep her.
You should keep her, man.
What about you, Trevor?
Dude, no. Think about it this way, brother. Think about it this way. You have that on her. She cannot say anything. She can be like, why don't you pick up your laundry? Hey, why don't you shit in a toilet like a normal person, you fucking weirdo? How about that? You will never get
this
in trouble
is going
with her.
To come,
you know what?
This is going to become the greatest game of battle shits ever.
Dude,
I gotta say,
she can shit anywhere.
This guy's gotta keep dating her.
Won me over on this. I initially said dump her, but now I'm saying, you know what? Keep her.
It's
at
a
least,
Travis.
Keep her at least
hashtag,
for the shits and giggles.
Hashtag yeah, Travis
keep
cult
her for the shits and giggles.
Hey, you won't
hashtag
be able,
Travis cult. That's
you won't,
it. Right
you
there.
Won't be able to believe anything she says because she's full of shit.
No!
Not anymore.
I
it's in the bag,
buddy.
There.
I think you need to keep dating her and keep writing us and keeping us up because if she's shitting in a bag on like the first date. God knows what she's going to pull in like a year or so. So please, for our entertainment,
I wonder
continue
what,
dating her.
Wonder what color her wedding dress is going to be.
Hopefully not white.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this guy never writes into Penthouse Forum.
It's time for us to move into the Tournament of Pop Culture, which is Will Ferrell performances. That's right. We're going to break down 16 individual. I've, as you know, we haven't done a Tournament of Pop Culture in a while, so some people might not understand this. I usually, whenever we do the Tournament of Pop Culture, I grab 16 of whatever thing it is. It could be best action movie. It could be best book. It could be anything. Like, we have multiple Tournament of Pop Cultures. If you go to theqnow.com, look for the word Tournament of Pop Culture off to the side in our thing, and it'll pop up every episode that has a Tournament of Pop Culture associated. TOPC is also a tag for that. I do a lot of research. Basically, I break down all the movies. In this case, with Will Ferrell, I break down every movie that's been a huge hit, the funniest things that everybody talks about. Like, I really do a lot of in-depth research to try to pick the best 16 to, like, go toe-to-toe against each other to where we find a winner.
Right.
I'm just puzzled at the concept of researching Will Ferrell movies.
All right, fair enough. Now, a lot of things are over your head. It's okay. You just took a girl who shit in a bag, and you said it was awesome. So we're just going to move on from there.
I'm with you, Travis.
She's party entertainment, if nothing else.
All right, so
she's really brown bagging it, huh?
It's getting ponderful.
And you know, if things get really bad with her, and I hate to say this because it's disgusting, but let's say it's the economy. It is what it is. You can take all kinds of pictures of that stuff, put it on the internet, and somebody somewhere will pay you to view that website.
I completely agree.
I'm saying it's right, but I'm saying you can make
some money.
She's
economically solid.
All right,
or soft. I didn't see the bag.
All right, it's time to move on with the Tournament of Pop Culture. Will Ferrell performances, and these are in no specific order. They are randomly generated against each other so that there is no like preferential treatment to any one specific performance or movie that is on this list.
Okay.
So basically, this is going to be a breakdown of his performances, whether that was the movie he starred in or a movie that he played a side role in, and the best performances of all those.
Okay.
So our first set of movies against each other, the number one seed in this case is Night at the Roxbury taking on Anchorman.
I'm surprised, first off, Night at the Roxbury got the number one seed.
Yeah, how did that get number one seed?
It's randomly generated.
Oh, yeah, randomly generated.
There is no like specific...
Which is pretty much how the NCAA basketball tournament goes, but they don't want you to know that.
So we're all just going around and giving our vote.
Well, basically, we're all going to give a vote and the majority rules in most cases, but since we have an odd number of people here, we have four, we're going to actually have a coin to
flip.
That
would actually be an even number.
Even number, I'm sorry. Well, an odd number for what we usually do. We usually use an odd number of people so that there is a guaranteed win.
Can you just believe that shit?
This is the new math.
Okay, first off, calm down.
Hey,
all right,
we're 25th. Okay?
Listen,
it's okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Boston Bruins fan sitting in
we're
our studio.
We're 25th in the world.
Go Chara.
Calm down.
Night at the Roxbury versus Anchorman. I'm going to start off on this one. I'm going to actually go Anchorman. Obviously, I think Anchorman just took more performance. I think the movie overall has better skits, jokes within it. I don't think that there's anything about Will Ferrell's performance in Anchorman that is sullied by any means whatsoever. I think it was perfect across the board. And it's really stupid humor that he got away with.
Yep.
I think that that's a very big plus because sometimes nowadays, especially with our attention that we use here in 2014 to watch things, it's really hard to keep attention for an hour and a half. And he did it very well with Anchorman. So I'm going to say Anchorman. Travis Cook.
I'm going to say Anchorman because that performance reminded me of St. Louis TV anchor Dan Gray.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've never really paid attention to Dan Gray all that much, but all right, I'll run
you
with
will
you on
now.
That.
That's
I will now. Shit. Now that, is he still even on the air?
Yeah.
He's over on Channel 11, so no one realizes he's on the air.
All right, fair enough. All right.
I didn't even know they still had a network on a fucking news channel.
Bobby, what are you going to say on this one?
Anchorman, without a doubt.
And Dan Walsh?
Anchorman.
All right, Anchorman is moving on to the next round. Actually, does it? Yeah, it does. It goes here. All right, and next. We've got, well, actually, it just gets circled. I'm sorry. Semi-Pro, the movie about basketball, the independent basketball, kind of like based off the old ABA back in the 1970s. Starring Will Ferrell.
Which, surprisingly, is pretty true to fact, I mean, other than the Flint Tropics.
Well, but that's true.
You have, like, KMOX references whenever they play the St. Louis Spirit and the St. Louis Arena reference.
Right. So they were very tip-top on their stuff. Not his funniest performance, I would say. Would you say it's his funniest performance? Because he's going up against Elf here.
No.
I would have to go on Semi-Pro versus Elf. I actually have to go Elf. I really feel that you have to. I mean, there's... Like,
if you don't choose
cotton-headed Niggy Muffins.
If you don't choose Elf, yeah. Like, you are a cotton-headed Niggy Muffin. Because nothing is better than answering the phone, Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? Like, that's the fucking best line ever.
I'm going to have to disagree with you guys. No. I like Semi-Pro.
You're going to go Semi-Pro.
And I'm going to tell you why. There's a scene in there where he sings his sexy, whatever his song is.
He does wrestle a bear.
And he's sitting inside the dumpster, and they come to get him. It's like the lowest point, and he's singing that song, and no one picks up what the lyrics are, but he's like, I'm going to get a extension cord and hang myself for sexy. And he's like talking about killing himself, and he's like eating like a pancake from inside the... And then the ELE, the fact that he's trading a guy for a fucking clothes washer, like... when the dude's watching Woody Harrelson bang his wife, I don't know. I thought the movie was pretty funny, dude. The Mega Bowl, come on.
Flint but Tropic. You're going to sit there and tell me that it was funnier than Elf?
I think Elf is funny and it's cute and all the kids can do it. But as far as quotable references that I use day to day in my life, I use more from Semi-Pro than...
What?
I mean,
I would say that I do way...
I know him.
No, you sit on a throne of lies.
It's good.
Bye, buddy.
But there's more times in my life wherever I just look at somebody and I'm like, corn dogs, Jackie. For all these people, we don't even fucking have corn dogs. Like, that part just makes me laugh my ass off, dude.
All right, Travis Cook, I go Elf. Bobby goes Elf. We got Dan Walsh over there with Semi-Pro. What about you?
You know what? I have not seen either one of these movies, but I am going to give the nod to Semi-Pro.
Oh!
Because I have read several books about the ABA, and it was an ongoing comedy. So any comedy movie based on the ABA has got to be gold.
Dude, this the alley-oop. Come on.
Listen, this could be a big upset here.
This could shake shit up.
This could shake shit up real hardcore. We're going to flip the coin here. We're going to say heads is Semi-Pro, tails is Elf. We're going to flip that bad boy right there. It lands heads. We're going Semi-Pro.
Yeah! Oh,
gets bumped in the first round. Wow.
And unlike Joe Namath, you didn't screw up the coin toss.
Yeah. Right.
Fair
Did
enough.
You see that furry coat, though? That was pretty bitchy, man.
That shit was huge.
That is so pimp, though. Joe Namath. At least not getting drunk and trying to have sex with a newscaster.
Not on camera this time.
Next up is Wedding Crashers. Very funny movie starring Vince Vaughn as well as Owen Wilson.
What part did he play?
He's Chaz.
He's Chaz in the basement, remember? Mom! Lasagna!
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What the fuck do you want? I almost nunchucked you, bro. You don't even know.
My favorite part of that is when he's sitting there and he's like, dude, funerals is where it's at. You have no idea, dude. No idea. Like, he gets really into it.
And he keeps air humping the girls as they're crying on his shoulder. It's a fucked up role.
Versus the Olympics-based Blades of Glory, where him and Napoleon Dynamite.
John Hader.
Decide to play figure skaters trying to achieve Olympic gold.
No. Okay, so they were figure skaters.
It's true.
They were figure skaters again.
They were singles.
Against
Bobby really looks.
Dude, this movie's fucking awesome.
It is hilarious, dude.
They're figure skaters and they're rivals. And Will Ferrell plays the fucking badass dude.
John Hedder's like the Mormon.
John Hedder is like the typical goofy-looking dude in the fucking leotard, and Will Ferrell's got, like, fucking blue jeans, and he's got, like, six shooters on his fucking hip.
He's shooting flames out of his hands and shit.
So they both get banned because they fight each other, but they get banned as singles competitors, so then they decide
that they're going to go into figure skating couples.
Yeah, so they have to figure out how to make things work.
Dude, that's
it.
Yeah.
It is a good movie. It's a solid movie. In this case, I have to go, it's performances. I have to go Chaz in Wedding Crashers.
No.
Screaming at mom about lasagna, you know, the whole situation with the funeral. Perfect. I mean, literally a perfect character for Will Ferrell.
Blades of Glory is great.
Just seemed like it was forced. That's my only problem with Blades of Glory. Like, I don't think Will was, like, hitting it as hard as he could.
Oh, my God. He had me fucking rolling. Dude,
I was rolling.
I was not rolling.
There's not really any lines that I could quote.
I'm going to tell you right now. Every time, and I've been in stores where I've seen this, if I see a bottle of Horse and Mame, I start laughing my ass off, because when he goes, this is the Verticoy. It's his brush uses for his hair. And he goes, it's made out of baby seal husk. And he's like, oh, can I use it? He goes, you keep your fucking hands off this. He goes, you can help yourself to the Horse and Mame, but you don't ever touch the Verticoy. Or the part where, I'm sorry, I'm not going to quote the whole movie, but the part where they walk in and there's the carpet, and he goes, if you value your life, take your shoes off before you step on the Berber. And he goes, why would I step in baby food? And then...
Oh, that's great. Okay. Travis, Blades of Glory. We're going to start with you on this one. Wedding Crashers or Blades of Glory?
Due to my absolute hatred of the sport of figure skating and the fact that Blades of Glory did such a great job lampooning that horrid sport, I'm going with Blades of Glory.
Yes.
Bobby, what are you
doing? Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory, man.
Ah, yeah. Blades of Glory is going to move on. Beating out Wedding Crashers, a really good role there. Coming up next, a very tough one, I think. This is going to be a tough argument. Man. Step Brothers, which is an amazing movie with John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, where they play adult stepbrothers. Their parents get married when they're later in age. They still live at home with their mom and dads. Can we turn these into bunk beds? Can we make bunk beds out of these?
Sure. Go ahead. That was the worst thing. There's fucking blood everywhere.
My favorite part is when at the beginning of the movie, where he's sitting there and they're having dinner, and he goes, can I have some special sauce? And he goes, no, it's my special sauce. He's like, it's just ketchup mixed with ranch or whatever. Like that. He goes,
Oh, yeah. Or the best part is when he says, John C. Reilly comes back and he's like, have you been playing my drums? No, I've been laying down watching Cops. And he goes upstairs and he fucking inspects the drums. And he comes back down and he's like, I know you touched my drums. You know how I know? Because Cops comes on at 4 o'clock.
Dude. I liked when they had the part at my store, at my job. I'm not going to mention what it is. I have a new store.
It's the Catalina fucking wine mix.
Yeah, my new store has a...
Bam!
It has a huge back room. So when I saw it, the first thing I said is I turned to one of the guys who works with me, and I'm like, there's just so much room for activities.
Or when they first start, like, bouncing ideas off of each other, and they're like, what's your favorite dinosaur? And then all of a sudden they're like, did we just become best friends?
What's your favorite non-porno magazine? Home and Gardens. You're not going to not get Randy Jackson from American Idol's autograph. That's all I'm saying.
I've got some I want to play for you guys. This is from Step Brothers. This is one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. This is great. If it plays. And it doesn't have an advertising before it. But I, going up against the other guys, Step Brothers versus the other guys, which is an amazing movie. Probably some of my favorite scenes, like when he gives him the gun back, but it's been polished.
Because originally he gives him a fucking wood gun, and it's been stained. And then the other part that's really awesome. Who plays his wife?
I forgot. Ava Mendez.
He, Mark Wahlberg's like, She's gorgeous. And he's like, she's nothing to write home about.
I love when he talks about how he met her, how he was the pimp on the college campus.
What was his pimp name?
Oh, I can't remember.
It was like something like Frosty's bitches don't be wearing those, like,
I just like hearing Dan right. say frost these bitches.
Well, what no, I like the part when they keep whenever he goes up, Mark Wahlberg goes up to him and he goes, listen, I'm going to tell you this because I don't believe him talking about someone's back. Basically, I hate you. If I was a lion, I would find a way to go out and you were a marlin. I'd find a way to go get you and I'd eat you. And all of a sudden, Will just turns it around. He goes, really? Because I'm a marlin. I'm about 500 pounds. You're not used to my water atmosphere. And then maybe we eat you because there's a whole team of us. And then we like the taste of lion. Then we start constructing breathing apparatuses. You didn't think that was going to turn out the way it did you?
This is a scene from Step Brothers, one of my favorite scenes.
Boom. No way. Limited edition Chewbacca Pez dispenser. And not individual Pez, whole packs.
Get out of here.
They only made 250 of these in 1979.
Come on, man.
The eyes follow you around the room.
No, they don't. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yeah, maybe don't do that. That scares me just a little bit.
I love you, Chewie. I have to put you back in the drawer now.
They're having a show and tell competition to see who's the cooler person.
Majestic Wolf Lamp and his family.
Look at the craftsmanship on that thing.
They didn't leave it unfinished. They put bark accents on the back.
They didn't have to do that.
They didn't have to. They could have just shipped it off with a bare back. But no, I don't. That's what hooked me.
You could walk 360 around that thing.
Close your eyes. Feel the back of that. Are you feeling plastic or real tree bark?
Am I in the Black Forest of Germany?
No. You're just feeling that Wolf Lamp.
Do they have names?
Yes, they do. His name is Chancellor. Okay? There's a good chance he's half domesticated. This is Galco, which is Hebrew for kindness.
What about the pup?
The pup is unnamed. You can't put a name on the innocence of that face, can you?
God. So. You're bringing some high heat now. You understand that I've got to kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you heard of the small one?
No.
You haven't heard of the small one?
Mm-mm.
It's a small box of fireworks you can buy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The big one.
I don't know what to say.
You can say that I rule the school on 4th of July.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, the stuff I'm cool lighting off is like Hornet's Nest, Golden Shower, Rose Blossom.
Right.
The bigger stuff, I let my dad do. It says, light fuse and run away for a reason. And I'm just scared I'm not fast enough.
Parental supervision means parental supervision.
That is one of my favorite scenes from that movie. I think that that is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, my God. That is just a collection of stupidity that makes it hilarious.
It really is. So we're going to Step Brothers versus the other guys, Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell and the other guys. Very funny scenes. One of the funniest scenes. I just don't know if other guys can match up. What do you think, Travis?
Well, as I've only heard of one of these movies, I'll take Step Brothers.
Okay, fair enough.
Step Brothers.
What do you think, Bobby? Step Brothers? I'm going to go Step Brothers. Dan Walsh?
I'm going with Step Brothers.
Step Brothers unanimous. Is moving on. Okay, the next one is The Campaign with our friend Zach Galifianakis, as well as Will Ferrell. Hilarious movie, very entertaining, versus Zoolander.
You've hit a sensitive spot in my heart.
Just shut up, Billy Zane.
It's so hard.
I will never, ever. My loyalty for one of these movies, as a kid in high school watching it and falling down laughing while my girlfriend was embarrassed because no one else in the movie theater was laughing at all. I will always love Zoolander and to my dying day. It is the funniest kind of undertone, especially Will Ferrell as Mugatu. Are you kidding me? The guy with the piano necktie?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Or when he's dude. That's my
problem that I have with Zoolander is that his role, although a large part of the movie because he is the bad guy, I think the issue is that the most memorable lines don't come from him at all. It's literally mostly Stiller,
that
man.
That part where he's like, Hansel, he's so hot. Hansel. He always says his name before and after. Or when he's like, he has one look. Am I taking crazy pills?
But when he but the funniest thing in that movie is like when they go to the gas station.
It's and they start
spraying each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's everybody's good in this movie. But Will Ferrell, like, especially in the re-education video where he's trying to tell him to kill the Malaysian prime minister. And he's got like the lollipop and shit. Like, that's hysterical to me, dude. I like the campaign. I think the campaign's hilarious. I think he's good in it. The only thing that I have with it is he did so many impersonations of George Bush that I felt like this was just a longer George W. Bush, just with a different name. So I'd kind of been over it by that time.
Fair enough.
That's my only thing with the campaign. So I'm going to go with Zoolander.
You're going to go with Zoolander. I'm going to go with Zoolander also. Travis, let me guess. You haven't heard of any of them.
I've heard of one of them, but since I absolutely cannot stand Zach Galifianakis, whatever the fuck his name is.
Fair enough.
I got to go with Zoolander.
All right. Yes. Zoolander is moving on. Up next, Talladega Nights, a fantastic movie, versus Megamind, the cartoon where Will Ferrell plays the bad guy. Wait, what do you got?
I've got, I think, the greatest scene from Talladega Nights.
Okay, turn it down. Turn it down. You're doing? Okay, all right. Just go ahead and play it. This is Talladega Nights.
I've been having this for hours.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR, as we call them. And, of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly, who's a stone-cold fox, who, if you were to rate her ass on 100, it would easily be a 94. Mm. Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate, Cal Naughton Jr., who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Mm. Dear tiny infant Jesus.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
Dear tiny Jesus, you're golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled up fist pawing.
He was a man. He had a beard.
Look, I like the baby version the best. Do you hear me? I win the races and I get the money.
Ricky, finish the damn grace.
I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt that says, like, I want to be formal, but I'm here to party too.
That's right.
Because I like to party, so I like my Jesus to party.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja fighting off evil samurai.
I like to think of Jesus like with giant eagle's wings and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with like an angel band. And I'm in the front row and I'm hammered drunk.
Hey, Cal, why don't you just shut up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent. Mm. We just thank you for all the races I've won and $21.2 million. Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Ow!
Love that money that I have accrued over this past season. Also, due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I mention Powerade at each grace, I just want to say that Powerade is delicious and it cools you off on a hot summer day. And we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry.
Mm.
Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen.
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 Let's dig in.
That was a hell of a grace, man. You nailed that like a split hog.
I appreciate that. I'm not gonna lie to you. It felt good.
Dad, you made that grace your bitch.
Hey, boys. I want to see some napkins in the lap.
Boys, how was school today?
I threw a bunch of Grandpa Chip's war medals off the bridge.
That sounds like a good day. Texas Ranger, how about you?
Well, the teacher asked me what was the capital of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I said Washington, D.C.
Bingo.
Nice.
She said, no, you're wrong. I said, you got a lumpy butt. She got mad at me and yelled at me, and I pissed in my pants.
and I never did change my pee pants all day. I'm still sitting in my dirty pee pants.
I went to my bed until I was 19. There's no shame in that.
I get emotional. These guys are working so hard, and I'm just so proud of you. You remind me of me, precocious and full of wonderment.
I'll tell you what, Ricky, you are truly blessed. These two are two in a million.
I am.
Just like Carly's tatas. You won't find another rack like that, I guarantee it.
Thank you, Cal. That's real sweet of you, Cal.
Cal, that's a real nice sentence. That's about one of the nicest things you've ever said.
Well, I mean it.
Stop, it's gonna make me cry.
It comes from my heart. That's why. I can't hold my tongue. These kids are my grandchildren, and you are raising them wrong. They are terrible boys.
Shut up, Chip, or I'll go ape shit on your ass. I'm going to scissor kick you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turn up the heat.
Go on and get some, boys.
Come on.
I'm 10 years old, but I'll beat your ass.
Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Like a spider monkey. Go on.
Chip, you brought this on, man.
Greatest generation my ass. Tom Brokaw is a punk.
What is wrong with you?
Chip, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
I love that.
You gonna let your sons talk to their grandfather like that? I'm their elder.
I sure as hell am, Chip. I love the way they're talking to you. Because they're winners. Winners get to do what they want. Hell, you're just a bag of bones. Only thing you ever done with your life is make a hot daughter. That's it. That's it. That is it.
If we wanted us some wussies, we would have named them Dr. Quinn and Medicine Woman, okay?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Talladega Nights right there versus Megamind. I'm going to go Talladega Nights.
For the line, Tom Brokaw is a punk, I'm going with Talladega Nights.
What about you, Bobby?
Talladega Nights.
All right, Talladega moves on. Next up, this could be a tough one. Now, Old School, very, very funny, funny stuff from Will Ferrell in Old School, especially the scene where he goes streaking. Good stuff. Really good stuff there. But we also have Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, where he plays Sheriff Will and Holly, where he's just afraid to go after the monkey. And he has the conversation about the monkey. What do you got here for
this me? Is from Old School.
All right.
We're going streaking! Yes! No, I'm sorry. Sorry, we're going streaking! Through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody. Come on. Snoop.
Snoop-a-loop.
Snoop-a-loop. No, it's cool. It's cool. I'm cool. Bring your green hat. Let's go. Come on, everybody. We're going. Here we go.
Man, put the music back on. Let's get the party back cracking up in here.
Now, just for the line in the movie where he's having the conversation with the kids and he's like, oh, yeah, we got a huge weekend planned. We're going to go over to Home Depot, maybe check out a couple of things. Like, just that whole line right there.
At Bath & Beyond. I don't even know if we'll have enough time.
Don't even know if we'll have enough time. I'm going to go, in this case, I'm going to go Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Old School is a funny movie overall. Will Ferrell does a great job in Old School, and Frank the Tank is one of the more legendary characters, like in like comedy, but I have to go with the Sheriff Will and Holly. Just the conversation with him and Kevin Smith and Jay Muse with the monkey, where he's talking about how he likes to suck the monkey off and it's cool, and then he's got to go chase him.
You're my boy, Blue. Will for Old School.
All right, you're going Old School. What about you?
Because I'm on the Mizzou campus six times a year and always think I'm going to end up living this movie, Old School.
What about you, Dan Walsh?
Old School.
Old School moves on. Now, the last one we got here in the first round is Curious George versus Starsky and Hutch. It moves a little bit faster once we get through the first round because you're kind of setting up the reasons why. We've got Starsky and Hutch right here. This is really good stuff.
Get up. Tell him to take his jacket off. Take
Will Ferrell's in jail, by the way.
Slow spin.
He says to do a slow spin.
Tell him to arch his back and then look back at me mean, like a dragon.
He says to arch your back and look back at him mean, like a dragon.
But keep it mean.
Keep it mean.
That's great. Tell him great job. He can sit down. You were a very convincing dragon. You should feel good about that.
Just get this over with.
Look, I like you guys, okay? It's especially you. Okay? Don't feel bad about that, but I like you guys, so I'll tell you where it is. But first, I need to see something, okay? And it's gonna involve both of you. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's gonna get weird. Two dragons.
Two dragons. Two dragons. That's right. Two dragons.
All right. Starsky and Hutch versus Curious George. Obviously, he played
Starsky.
I think we got to go Starsky and Hutch on this one. This is kind of the weakest one of the first round.
Yeah, I'm going with Starsky.
Starsky.
Starsky and Hutch. Okay, we're on to the championship rounds. We're moving forward here. Anchorman versus Semi-Pro. Let's do this. Let's go around the room. Anchorman versus Semi-Pro. Travis Cook.
Anchorman.
Anchorman.
You're going Anchorman. Anchorman.
Anchorman.
We've got Anchorman moving into the next round.
Blades of
Glory. Blades of Glory versus Step Brothers.
Blades of Glory.
Mm. I'm going Step Brothers.
Dan.
I'm going to go with Step Brothers.
Blades of Glory.
Uh-oh. We got a showdown. Flip of the coin can determine a lot. We've got Blades of Glory heads, Step Brothers tails. Tails. Step Brothers moves on in the championship rounds. Zoolander versus Talladega Nights. It's going to be tough to beat Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights.
I'm going to go with
Tom Brokaw's a punk.
I think Talladega Nights.
Talladega.
And I said I would never betray Zoolander, but yeah, Talladega Nights.
Betray it. You did.
You betrayed it.
I totally look at my iron constitution.
I don't even think this one's a challenge. Old school versus Starsky and Hutch.
Old school.
I think it's old school too. All right, we're moving on. Final four. Final four. Anchorman versus Step Brothers.
Shit.
This is going to be tough, guys. This is where it starts to get to the nitty gritty.
Well, this is they even said this. I forget what show I was watching, but it is true. Anchorman is probably the most quoted movie as far as any of his movies. I mean, the more numerous quotes that you have. I just want to be on you. You know, like all that stuff. You hear it more.
Punch you right in the baby maker.
You just hear more quotes from Anchorman. I'm going with Anchorman.
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 I got to go Step Brothers. It's still Anchorman, but I got to go Step Brothers on that one, man. I just think, you know, prestige worldwide. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's good. I mean, they're hilarious, but I just think it had more of an effect on society than Step Brothers did.
Talladega Nights versus Old School.
It's so hard on this one. This one is, I think, harder than the first set.
I think that it's Talladega Nights. I'm going Talladega Nights just because I think the idea of Ricky Bobby himself. You don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
I'm going with Talladega Nights. I think that's another one that's extremely quotable.
Oh, yeah.
Real close, real close. I'm going to go with Old School, though.
Okay,
but
Old
School. But
I actually
thought Talladega Nights was like the biography of Daryl Waltrip.
I don't think so.
I thought it was him. It sounds exactly like him.
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights moves on. All right. Here's the finals, ladies and gentlemen, and this is going to be very tough. Anchorman, very quotable movie. They just released the new one at Ron Burgundy, The Legend Continues or whatever it is, versus Talladega Nights, which we cannot forget that one of my favorite guys, Sacha Baron Cohen, plays the bad guy in Talladega Nights. There's some really funny stuff.
Have you seen the second Anchorman?
I have not seen
Have you seen the second Anchorman, Dan?
No, I was going to, but okay, people
see,
trashed
here's,
it.
Here's the thing. I think Anchorman was good for one movie. We can quote it a shit ton of times. I think it'll only be good for one movie. Talladega Nights, I think you could do more than once. Oh, yeah. Talladega Nights.
Anchorman.
Talladega Nights.
Ladies and gentlemen. I think Talladega Nights is where it's at. Talladega Nights is the best performance by Will Ferrell in a movie. That is the tournament of pop culture for this week. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to just thank you so much for sticking around with us, listening to, having a good time listening to all these Will Ferrell movies and stuff like that. Travis Cook, America's Evil Genius, thank you so much for being on the show.
And hashtag best of Travis on Twitter.
There it is. Also, don't forget you can follow our friend Bobby, CC Papa.
At CC Papa on Twitter, as well as if you need to get in touch with me about anything with the show, you can email me at theqproducerbobby@gmail.com.
Dan Walsh, anything you want to talk about? Plug.
I have always plugged the fact that I write on my Twitter, but I have been bad about it. So from now until the Next time I'm on the show, I will tweet something every single day.
Dan
right? And you
Walsh
can call me out on it.
Dan Walsh 83 on Twitter. That's where
that's
you follow
ballsy.
Me. Absolutely. Don't forget, you go to theqnow.com. You can contact us there. If you want to sponsor on the show or anything like that, just hit us up. Also, follow me on Twitter at Mark Bland at theqnow. We live tweet during the show while you're listening, so we'll answer any questions you have. That's going to do it for us here on The Q. Thank you so much. We will see you guys next time on the show.